This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Site kpft.org. We want to know what you like, what you don't like, how you listen, and what you suggest. There are plenty of places to write out your thoughts, and results are reviewed in an effort to learn what you enjoy and want more of on your KPFT. Again, visit kpft.org for a link to this online survey. Please note, one survey per household. The deadline is midnight, Monday, January 5th. So don't wait. Visit kpft.org now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored community radio, Pacifica, 90.1 FM, KPFT, Houston.
Forever, I fell in love with. Program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston.
Third.
We call ourselves a Saturday show.
Oh, whatever.
I don't have my glasses on and there's a glare. It's Happy New Year!
Hi.
Boy.
Enthusiasm is...
That level of observance, I haven't seen that since Wednesday night. When I can sneak into a bar and stand behind Jimmy for 10 minutes and not know that I'm there...
How's that possible?
He was standing behind me. How would I know?
He really got to work on those Jedi powers. You know?
It took a drag queen with a microphone to get his attention.
I mean, he took a bath, so how would I know? And you are?
Pissed.
Oh, that's a weekly occurrence. Now.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. How was your Happy New Year's?
I was in home in time to watch the rerun of The Ball Drop.
Mmm.
The rerun of it?
Yeah. Channel 2 did a time delay.
Mm-hmm.
So that when...
The ball dropped in New York.
Yeah,
you
so
got
that
to
when,
see it again.
Carson Daly.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So
yeah.
You got to see two balls drop.
No, I left EJ's before that happened.
It was Wednesday night.
Oh.
Yeah, so they had the strip contest at 11.
No, more ish.
I don't know. I didn't go.
I left at 11:20, and I don't.
Then
they hadn't started yet.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, so their balls were dropping late.
I see.
Well,
maybe their balls were.
No, I got back elsewhere. Home. I got back home to suburbia to watch that.
Oh.
So, and you went home and stroked your pussy.
Yeah, I sure did. All night long.
Why is that not surprising?
Judy's cat just adores me.
And the crowd goes silent.
Yes, they do. So what did we hear?
In honor of the 81 degrees it is in the damn studio tonight.
It is hot in here tonight.
A lot of people in here, that's why.
We did Jeff Krasner's 110 in the Shade.
Yes.
Thought that was appropriate.
Yes, it is. I love Jeff Krasner. I can't wait for him to put out a new CD.
Well, it has been, what, a decade now?
No, just a couple of years. I don't know. That's not his last one.
Okay, that one's 2000.
Yeah, he's had one since then.
And before that was Kevin Cahoon and the Ghetto Cowboys with Can I Have This Dance?
Ah, that's nice.
With dancing and all the stuff with New Year's. Okay. I figured that was...
Well, tonight we've got our usual stuff that we do at the beginning of the show, community events and... a little smidgen of what's going on in the community. We have an interview with candidate number 3 for the office of Emperor of the Empire of the Royal and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
God, you butchered that.
Yes.
It's the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Galveston, Houston, USA... North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth, Milky Way.
Inc.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
You left out Sovereign.
I'm really good at that. I don't know how I did that.
You left out Sovereign.
I was looking at you, and that's why Sovereign just went away.
Chris, do that 5 times real fast.
Hey, like I said, I had a trial by fire learning that thing when I started on this show. Like I said with Marcia, when I first started here, Jimmy liked to give me the stories where back when it was Rhesus...
Yeah.
And it didn't have it spelled out. It just had the initials. So Mr. Smartass here had to keep going. And what does Rhesus stand for? I'm sorry. He didn't say Rhesus. He mispronounced that even.
Yeah, I would call it Rasikis.
So I had to start learning it. And eventually, after a while, he started catching on to the fact that I learned the thing. So,
so I didn't have to remember anymore. He knew it.
Goes with so many things.
No. Anyway, things going. And then I think we have Hatch here tonight, don't we?
I think we saw a Hatchling.
Okay.
Did we?
Did we?
I don't know. Somebody check IDs.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. There are things going on later on today. In fact, this evening at the BRB. Baron of Rain 7, Stephen Bunch, is a candidate for Mr. BRB 2009. He's having a show over there, BRB at 7. So that might be a kind of a fun thing to do. With Stephen, you just never know what you're going to get. You know, he's so off the wall sometimes. And that's what we love about him. And don't forget...
I thought it was his kilt is what you liked about him.
What?
I thought it was his kilt that you loved about him.
That too. Well, not the kilt so much.
What's all under it?
Yeah.
The squirrel
he under the kilt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the squirrel he carries around.
Oh my goodness.
But it's worn under the kilt. Nothing. It's all in perfect working order.
He's got a whole winter supply of nuts under there. Nominate your favorite community star. Dalton DeHart, Kelly McCann, Julie Eberle, and the AIDS Foundation Houston have one thing in common. They relied on someone like you to nominate them for 2008 Grand Marshal. Grand Marshal positions are among the highest honor bestowed by Houston's GLP community. Nominees are selected based on their commitment and contributions to the community. To nominate an individual or an organization, complete and submit the Grand Marshal nomination form by January 9th. Categories include male Grand Marshal, female Grand Marshal, honorary Grand Marshal, and Grand Marshal organization. Nominations will be reviewed by a committee of formal Grand Marshals, ta-da, me included, and candidates will be announced January 16th. So, to find your Grand Marshal nomination form, go to contact parade at pridehouston.org or go to pridehouston.org. They probably have it on the website. What?
Have you taken your meds?
More than enough. Oh. Maybe too many.
We're guessing.
Maybe that's the problem.
So, Polydent or C-bomb, which one's your favorite?
I don't have experience with either one. Thank you very little.
Well, you're a little more flummoxed than normal. You left the T off GLBT.
Did I?
Yeah. Eminem's going to kick your ass.
Yeah, I know.
I think he said GLBK.
Yeah, I heard K.
Queer. K-W-E-E-R.
Nice cover-up. Yay. Nice cover-up.
Do you have a few things over there? Sir?
I better say this stuff right, because I've
opened... Now that you teased him.
Let's see how well you do.
Coming Out Support Group begins on January 28th.
Oh, God, he's in radio voice mode.
Uh-oh.
The Coming Out Support Group, as the new year begins, many people take this opportunity to set goals for themselves in the coming months. If one of yours has become more open about who you are, please consider joining the Coming Out Support Group, which begins on Wednesday, January 28th. Unfortunately, Jimmy gave me no information of who's running this, where it's going, what time.
That's Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Bernard. Well, I had thought that I would do that one, and I know.
And then you handed it to me.
529-0037.
This is how you know it's live radio, folks.
It's not pre-recorded.
That's Montrose Counseling Center, too.
Well, I saw Sally Huffer's name here, so I could figure that much.
Oh, okay.
Page 2. Switchboard volunteer receives the 2008 Tom Strain Volunteer of the Year Award. We're pleased to announce that the Gay Lesbian Switchboard Houston volunteer Wesley Capps has received the Montrose Counseling Center's 2008 Tom Strain Volunteer of the Year Award. Mr. Capps has volunteered for nearly 200 hours in the 2 years he's been a switchboard volunteer and was nominated for the award because of intelligence, dedication, reliability, patience, and outstanding communication skills. Community Project Specialist Sally Huffer, who manages the switchboard and its volunteers, said his compassion for our callers is evident in the level of research he will do to provide the best possible information and referrals.
That's particularly poignant for me because I knew Tom Strain very well. He taught the class that I attended when I was first at the switchboard. You go through 3 weeks of training. And he was one of the teachers, and we just hit it off together. It just, you know, and it was really hard for me when he passed. So I'm really glad to see that.
And you still know how to operate the board with all the little plugs and wires?
Yeah, that's right. Back in 1988, as a matter of fact. And I think I'm still the longest running volunteer they've ever had at the switchboard. I was there for 15 years. Cool.
Then he went on to his phone sex career.
No.
When you call that large-breasted blonde, you're contacting Miss Carper. Hi, I'm Tiffany.
You have anything else?
Oh, just the shameless self-promotion stuff.
Oh, yeah. Your birthday coming up January 9th.
I don't mention that on here. Singing for my supper.
You're going to be 40 what?
Oh, gee, how did that happen?
No, how old?
I think it's an electrical strike.
How old are you going to be?
37.
Oh!
Like I said, I'm getting scared, though. You know those commercials that talk about, if you were born between the years of such and such and such and such, yeah, I'm getting a lot closer to that such and such.
Yeah, well,
I'm closer to that.
I'm in the damn middle of it, so. Don't look for pity on this end.
I got laughs from my family on that one. My parents are like, hey, singing for my supper, a dual benefit on Friday, January 9th, 8 p.m. at George.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a show benefiting the Louis Food Committee. And also there will be a canned food drive for the Resurrection MCC Food Pantry.
Cool.
There will be the Sisters of Perpetual Events Girth will be doing a bake sale.
The Pig Girls?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there is a challenge on the canned food drive portion.
Oh, yes. And this is really important. So bring out the heavy stuff, folks.
Yeah. 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 None of this ramen crap.
No,
okay?
No.
We,
don't fool with that.
Yeah. The Dallas Big Men's Club, they do ramen at their things.
No.
Don't bring no ramen. I want the big industrial cans. The challenge of the community is we want to collect canned goods to at least equal the weight of myself.
Yes.
The Dowager Wuzzy of the Houston Big Men's Club.
Mm-hmm. And that weight would be?
As of last time I checked,
mm-hmm.
This was in between holidays, was $3.99.
$3.99. And he doesn't mean $3.99. No, $3.99. You're a big guy, and I'm a little guy.
But let me put it this way.
Yeah.
Okay. And yes, it is that. But from the time when I started this show, mm-hmm. it's about 100 pounds less.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So, you know, I have to...
So look what this show has done for you.
I'm surprised it's on my hair. And look what it's done to your hair. Dutch going on platinum.
It's not the show. It's the people.
Well, thank you very much.
If you're not able to bring canned goods or don't feel like schlepping them up here, we are also going to be taking the money raised from the bake sale will go to this.
Mm-hmm.
And also if you tip...
Performers?
If you tip the orange bucket.
Oh.
We're going to have up there. That's going to go, and because...
Your orange bucket?
Yeah, I'm going to have two buckets.
Okay.
The green bucket's for Louie, the orange bucket's going to be for...
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And if you tip into that one, because, you know, with the way the economy is, you never know what the exchange rate's going to be, so a dollar is a pound.
Oh.
So I'm not going to fool with euros or any other crap, a dollar is a pound.
Okay, gotcha.
So I am hoping we will get that...
At least your weight in dollars, too, huh?
Yes, so however we raise that, we want to do that. Like I said, we're going to drop it off to... RMCC, and if everything goes well,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at wanting to do something like this quarterly.
Good.
And keep up the theme of, you know, one charity and the food pantry,
mm-hmm.
which is part of one of the groups I do with the Big Men's Club of... We like to refer to it as the joke of, you know, we stole an idea from Blue Bell. You know, we eat all we can and we share the rest.
I want to take a minute here. You know, we've got a lot of people who listen to this show on a regular basis. You find out over the years that, you know, people that you don't know very well or that you've known for a long time find out that they've been listening faithfully for many years. And I heard about one in particular, a new one to my knowledge. His name is Trance. And I know he's listening tonight because I've been told that he's in the last several years he's only missed one show.
Wow.
That's better than I do.
That's better than most of the people who are.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. That's absolutely fantastic. I don't think we have a more loyal listener. And
at least one that's not behind bars.
Stop! I want to wish him well. And tell him that things may be rough right now, but believe me, baby, once you're able to get out on your own and find your own place. The world is filled with people just like you, or your future world will be. So hang in there. So, now, isn't it time we do something with that guy in there?
If we must.
Him too.
Oh, no, we have a guy over here we need to do something with.
You've been bumped.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys here. I like this.
Yeah. So, who do we have?
Hi, this is, I'm Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to After Hours.
Thanks.
And now Merlin dragged you in here.
Yes, it was
Merlin
great.
Merlin drags to anything.
I know, he does that all the time. So.
Yes, but this one I actually dragged in here for something besides the fact that he's cute. Yeah. But that's a plot.
I do have a brain, too.
Yeah, there's a brain.
Yeah.
There's a brain.
We found that out. There's more than one of you.
Yes.
But you've got some special event going on, don't you?
Yes, I do. At Starbucks Montrose, we do a yearly art auction.
Really?
Yes, we do. All the proceeds benefit AIDS Foundation Houston. It's a great charity that we love to support.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually in honor of one of Merlin's old friends, Patrick.
Oh, yes, I know Patrick. Mm-hmm. Patrick was on this show quite a few times.
Yes. So,
I can't believe it's been 4 years.
I know.
Yes. He was one of our favorite customers.
Sure.
Oh, God, he was there
just,
daily.
he was a staple, as he was throughout the rest of the community as well. So, we like to support and honor him.
So, when is this happening?
This is going to be March 1st.
March 1st.
It's an all-day event at a store. We open at 6 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And that's a Sunday. It's the first Sunday of March because it's the first.
Oh, we can end the show and go over
and
there.
And go over there.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a very long day.
Yes, a very long day.
It's going to be a very long weekend.
Last year, we raised close to $30,000.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
The way it kind of works is, and that's our grand total of Starbucks donation through to AIDS Foundation Houston, including our AIDS Walk contributions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great showing.
So this is the Starbucks on Montrose
and
Hawthorne,
right in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we are currently seeking art.
Ah, that's why you're on here in January.
I'm here.
You're looking for art.
I'm looking for art. We start taking donations next Friday.
Uh-huh. Do you take them like to the Starbucks?
Bring your donations to Starbucks. We'll be prepared. They'll show up with art, and we will take care of it for you. We'll store all the art. Some of the photos and more information will be available starting next Friday.
Okay.
But I wanted to come out and say,
yes,
art.
Thank you, thank you.
I know
you.
There are tons of artists out there.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And I want to get something in writing so we can talk about that every week.
I will have that for you Monday morning.
Good. Thank you very much, Kevin,
thank
for
you.
Stopping by. That's really good. $30,000. My God. That's incredible.
Yeah, make me feel great. I'm trying to raise $500. Now with $500, I'm saying $400.
Yeah, but that includes the AIDS Walk. That brings in big money. But still, nothing to sneeze about.
And now Jimmy enters the other room.
And speaking of nothing to sneeze about, I have with me Falcon.
Yay!
Motion to adjourn.
And which hat do you have on tonight?
I've got my candidate hat on.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be a crown?
Not yet. Still got to do the whole election thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's going on. In fact, voting's this week, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Wow. It's Monday from 6 to 9 p.m. at the BRB. And then at Legacy Community Health Services from 1 to 7 p.m. on January 10th, which is Saturday.
Okay.
And I'm having a party.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good party. At the Love It Inn, right down the road here.
Yeah.
Corner over. You can
Two doors down,
yeah. From 1 to 6 on Saturday, January 10th, I'm having a party. People, come on out to the Love It Inn. Come right to the party. We'll get you down to the voting location.
Oh.
So we're going to have shuttles going back and forth.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
So come on out, enjoy a drink, you know, and we'll make sure you get down there to vote. Mm-hmm. Vote for me.
Well, of course.
Well, bless you.
I say that, but there are two candidates running for emperor.
Yes, vote for me.
Let's talk about Falcon.
Let's talk about Falcon.
How long have you been in Houston?
I've, as of December, I've been here for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And for where from?
6 years, I think. Come to think, when did I get here? 5 years. I can't remember.
She was bad at math.
Yes, I was. Well, this time I came in from Atlanta. I've lived in Detroit, Orlando, Tampa, and Atlanta before I came here.
Oh, my goodness.
And Houston is absolutely the best city I've ever lived in.
Really?
Yes.
I would have thought that Orlando or, you know, any of the Florida cities would have been really fabulous.
Orlando is really great, but it's very transient. People move down there thinking they're going to live the dream of working for Walt Disney World, and they get disillusioned really quick when they find out that they actually do have to work.
And it's not as much money as they thought.
Right. It's not as much fun. So they actually go home, go back where they originally came from.
Yeah.
And so Orlando is very transient. It's very hard to make friends there. I got friends all over the country now. But
and you met them all in Orlando.
Exactly. And you know, Tampa is, I didn't really actually live in Tampa.
Tampa St. Pete is, you know, you have to be like 65 and older for Tampa St. Pete, don't you?
Oh, it is interesting. I've never seen so many accidents in my life where cars go sideways into each other. You know, it's like they don't look, they just change
lanes. That is like, you know, I'm from up north, and that is like the place where people go to retire.
Yes.
In trailer houses.
Yes. Itty-bitty trailer houses.
Yeah, and so it's like, my grandparents did it, so it's like this whole city of trailers with old people in them.
Yes, there's so many senior trailer parks are out there. It's scary. But, yeah, then I moved to Atlanta, and...
Now, that's a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place.
It's
very
Houston,
congested.
It's Houston with hills.
Very much so.
That's the way I kind of... My impression of Atlanta.
The difference between Atlanta and here, a lot of people complain about the traffic here.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when you look at Atlanta, if there's a traffic jam on I-75 and you want to get off the expressway and take a side road, you can't do it because no road goes straight.
No, it's a much older city, and because there are hills, it's not a grid system, and the roads are not as wide.
It would take you longer.
Yeah.
So, but I stayed there for a year, and then I got transferred here with my job. I got transferred twice. I went from Orlando to Atlanta, then to here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got here, I loved the city. And one thing I really noticed with Houston that I did not experience in any other city was just how congealed the GLBT community is.
Really?
Seriously. In other cities... People who are in leather organizations don't play with drag organizations.
Now, that I knew.
And, you know, even...
I've had so many people from out of town on the leather segment come in and just rave about that part of it. Because wherever city they're from, it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah.
And to me, it's like, it's such a natural thing.
You know, before I moved here, I never really did that much with drag queens.
Really?
You know, all the other cities I lived in, because I'd never lived in a city that had a court in it.
Yeah.
So it was all for them. And, you know, I love what they're doing, but I just never went to those bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had an interest to go to see a drag show.
Yeah.
And I came here, and my partner, Scott, he got me interested in going to some of these bars. You know, the very first person I met was Earthquake and Gingivitis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, here's your wake-up call.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
Exactly. I mean, and I love them both. I mean, I'm sorry the earth has passed. But,
I know.
I love
and
them both.
And one of the first characters you ever did, as I recall, was Antipasta.
Yeah. That came about, it was kind of funny because I never thought that I would actually do drag. And that actually came about from years ago when I was in Orlando. And I had a boy. I was very heavy into the leather community.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a boy. And my boy wanted to run for a drummer contest.
Yeah.
And they had to do a fantasy portion of it. And he said he's always had this fantasy, and it's just something fun to do, of acting out a story being read by a school teacher. So I developed, based on Gilda Radner's Emily Latilla.
Oh, yeah.
I did the whole antipasta thing. So I got the pendulous breast and everything and the butt that flies all over the place. Well, I get out there and I start reading this porno book.
Yes.
And I'm obviously reading it out loud to the audience. And they're trying to act it out as best as they could. Well, I kind of stole the show because I would take a dirty word and going, okay, let's look this up in the thesaurus. So I'd be starting rattling off all the different variations of that dirty word. And the crowd was laughing and just eating it up. And I'm like, you know, my one and only time I've ever done drag like this. And, well, I take that back, the second time. And the crowd just loved it. The first time I did drag, it was the dare.
Did your boy win?
No.
Oh.
He made a faux pas. But it was the first time. So when I came here, I told Scott about it. And it was his birthday. And he goes, I want you to do it. Come out. I'm like going, okay. So we went to Sandower, of course.
Yes.
Drag heaven.
Yes.
Got all the clothes. Made myself up. And back then, I was actually doing the whole latex thing on my face. So I would look really like an old lady.
Yes, I remember that.
So it took me about an hour to put the latex on my face and put the makeup on. And, you know, so it was really cool. And I went out there and did my number, and people ate it up.
Sure. It was funny.
It was funny, you know, especially when I did the whole butt thing. Because what people don't realize, I got to tell people what my butt is. Scott took a pillow, and he seamed it right up the middle of the pillow. Then he shaped it, and he put a tie onto it, so it ties around my waist. So when I lift up my dress, all I have to do is tie this thing on over my pantyhose and everything else. It ties on. So then you put the dress down over it. So when I walk, that pillow just flies
up
and down.
It does. It does.
And when I bounce it, it goes even further.
You have the bounciness butt.
I got the biggest bouncy butt you ever did say. So
it's a big pillow.
It's a big pillow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I did some of the drag. You know, I'm not doing drag now. I'm on the male line.
You're in the male line, yes.
But, yeah, I've got like four different drag characters
But that,
now.
That was part of making money for the community.
Exactly. And that's one thing I've always said. I'll do almost anything for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for charity, do it. I mean, I get people coming up to me all the time because I am part of the leather community.
Yes.
I hold that very dear to me. And people are like, well, how can you do both? And I don't consider what I'm doing. Well,
there have been people before you.
True. But I don't consider what I do as far as drag for charity. I'm not taking myself seriously when I'm doing it. It's for charity. It's to raise a dollar. It's for the community.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
You do comic drag.
I do a lot of comic drag.
Yeah.
I've done pretty once, and I freaked
you
all you guys out.
I recall that. I
freaked
that
all you guys out.
Yes.
And
all in white.
It was baby blue and white. Yeah. But anyways, that's how I ended up kind of progressed. I first started with the Colt 45s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things when I started with the Colt 45s, I immediately got put on the board as a secretary. So I was a board officer right from the get-go. And one of the things I really wanted to do was PR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very big on PR and getting out there and talking us up. So I went to a recess, and I'm like, you know, will you do our shows? And we had a big show coming up, our anniversary show, and I'm like, would you do our show? And I went to every single person.
Yeah.
And same thing with ICOH and all the other organizations. You know, I'm just a Colt 45. I didn't belong to any other organization at this time. So I went up to every single person I did not even know. If I saw them in drag or if I thought they were up on stage.
Hey, would you do this show?
Would you do this show? We had
You have to do. You have to ask people individually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had such a huge show. And, it was ridiculous how big it was. And I think we had like 50 performers or something like that.
The show that wouldn't end.
It was. It really was. And I'm like going, oh, wow. I mean, obviously, this community is willing to come out. All you got to do is ask.
Yep.
And so going back to the whole leather thing, people are like, well, why would you do drag? And I always try to explain to people that, you know, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Eresus, we are, you know, basically a drag organization.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if nobody ever did drag, we would still be a charity.
That's right.
Be there.
That's right.
So I try to remind
you. That's how you raise money.
It's how we raise money.
Yeah.
And trust me, the ladies make the good money. I mean, I go up there and I give as great of a performance that I can, but I really do feel like, you know, the people are there to see the ladies.
You're doing the male lip sync.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I wish I could sing live like some people, but you don't want to hear me sing. But it went from the Colts, and then it went into Arisa's, of course. Mm-hmm. I saw Sofana St. John.
Yes.
And she just kind of told me to come on over. So I did. And the rest is kind of history. And since then, I've been working. Like, I'm on the committee for World AIDS Day Houston. Mm-hmm.
You just did Illuminations.
I just did Illuminations
Project.
And that
was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Illuminations Project, for those who probably did not hear me the last time I was on the radio 2 times ago, is... I'm going to shamelessly plug it for next year. It's tentatively set for next year for November 11th.
Mm-hmm. November?
November. We had to push it up because of conflicts.
Oh.
Their calendar in December is already booked.
Wow.
We normally do this as close to World AIDS Day as possible,
yes.
And this is the closest we can get.
Well, yeah, because you're getting this thing for free.
Yes, we get the Hobby Center for free.
Yeah,
we get
so you got to take what they got.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They are so great to us. So this got placed in my lap this summer, and by myself, I basically put a whole show together at the Hobby Center. And
yes, you did.
I asked, and it's amazing. This goes back to, once again, all you got to do is ask. I went to the Houston Ballet, the City Ballet of Houston, Sean Welling's Planet Funk, the Metropolitan Dance Company, Urban Souls, and then some of our... The Lone Star Lariats, the Flyboys of Houston, Cheyenne, and Sarah Schoenander, and I hope I'm getting them all, and the Debris Sisters.
Yeah.
And I just went to them and I said, will you perform in this? And they all said yes. And I'm like, oh my God, I got this huge
well,
show.
How could you turn it down? I mean, you know,
well,
for
you
a
know,
show like this.
The Houston Ballet initially said no because it was the same time as Nutcracker. And Stanton Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Actually got wind of it and said, no, we're doing it. This is too important. So we put on this great show at the Hobby Center, knocked people's socks off, because for the past 7 years, the show's not done that well, and I actually doubled the paying admission, and everybody who left is saying, we're coming back next mm-hmm. year, we're going to bring friends. If people do that, we have a full house.
Unfortunately, I was ill the night of that show because I was supposed to be in it, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I had the cold from hell, and I was in bed, actually. But I have heard nothing but good stuff about that show. How entertaining it was, how much fun, how diverse the entertainment was.
Yes, we did both professional and amateur.
Yes.
We also give out 2 awards. And one award went to, it's I call it the CAPE program. It's Community Awareness, Prevention, and Education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about AIDS awareness.
Yes.
So people who hold those ideas to heart. And our community business winner was Legacy Community Health Services. And our individual winner was Barbara Walker.
Yes.
So, and she was not expecting it. She was up against Dr. Gordon Crowfoot and mm-hmm. Bo Mitz and Christopher Garrett.
Yeah.
All very worthy people.
Absolutely.
And she's like, she kept on. And the funny part is, we were at the Candlelight Vigil on Monday before the show, and she's like going, okay, I know Dr. Crowfoot won. I said, you know, if you pay me enough money, I'll tell you who won. And she's like, and she looks at me and she goes, why do I want to pay you if I know I'm not going to win? So why do I want to pay you to find out? I just wait till the show. I said, okay. And she won. When I called her name, her mouth just kind of went slapped. So, but yeah.
So what are you going to do as emperor?
What I'm going to do?
Let me rephrase that, because I ask that a lot. What I usually ask is, what kind of entertainment are you, you know, what kind of activities are you going to do that's different this year to draw more people in? But the question I'm going to ask you right now is, what are you going to do to draw different people in to see the shows?
One of the things that I'm trying to do is pull back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do quality over quantity.
Okay.
It seems like we are doing constantly 3 shows a weekend, every weekend of the year. I want to pull back on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to sit with the membership when they plan a show. I'm not going to tell anybody they can't do a show. But what I want to do is sit down with them and say, because so often we open up that calendar book, the first meeting of the new reign in February, and people swarm it. And they're booking dates in August and everything else. I'm going, yep. Do you have a location? You know, and have you even thought about that?
No, they're,
you
know, they're just
grabbing dates.
Yeah.
And I want to get away from that. I want to make sure that they're going to talk to me and say, this is the show I want to do. This is the idea. This is
so you're looking for a bigger show, or
I want to do
a show that will
quality.
Bring in more money, or
yes, I want to do quality. I want to make sure. So often, and I am guilty of this. I have thrown shows together. I am guilty of that. I am guilty of sitting in the parking lot of the bar, flipping through my CDs, trying to figure out what song I'm going to do, because mm-hmm. it's so hard to do a different song three times a weekend and try to be fresh and new and entertaining.
Yes.
And I want us to get to that point. I want us to do really good shows.
Mm-hmm.
They can be in bars. They can also be in other locations. I just showed that we can do something at the Hobby
yes.
Center.
Yes, you did.
It doesn't have to be that big. It doesn't have to be, you know, that extravagant. But we can do really good shows. We can do other things. We can do a barn dance. Just why does it always have to be drag? We can actually do something where we can go out, rent a space, have a lockdown, have the liquor brought in.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
Charge an admission and free food and liquor for the night.
There you go.
You know. And it's just a private party. We're just having fun. Mm-hmm. We're just socializing. So there's other things I want to do, and I also want to work more in the community. Being that we do so many shows on the weekends, I don't feel that we are... I think we lost our connection with some of the groups. That's the other reason why I want to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure we have representation at all the different organizations. Going to NOA and the Misfits and the Cold 45s and all these other meetings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us across memberships, you know. I belong to the Colts and the Bears. So many of us do that. But believe it or not, you know, we can have a membership meeting and we don't hear what's going on with the Colts. Nobody's actually raising their hand saying, oh, by the way, the Colts are doing this. And I want that ambassadorship. Mm-hmm. I want somebody to actually stop and say, okay, I'm going to these meetings and I want to do this. you know, I've always gone to the anniversaries and the runs and everything.
Yes.
And even if I only do one number at a show, I make sure I run over and do, you know, the Fire Dancers
mm-hmm.
run or the Misfits Ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for me to make that connection to the public. These are people who are going to support you.
That's right.
And
by doing that, perhaps they will turn around and attend some of your shows.
Exactly.
And you're getting fresh money in rather
true.
Than getting all your money from your members.
I would, to me, it's not always about just getting the fresh money in. It's getting fresh entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
A good example of Robert is Robert Helms of NOA. He does sign language, and he does a fantastic number. And
yeah.
he, you know, I would love for him to come out and do that again because it's hysterical.
Oh.
His facial expressions and what he does with his hands, it's hysterical.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You have to ask him. But, you know, he's a great entertainer, but he's part of the leather community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm trying to bridge certain things. Like, you know, I told Robert just recently and some of the members of NOA, you know, they just had their toy drive.
Yes.
Well, we could have helped them with that.
Yeah.
We could have made that as a beneficiary since it was going through AIDS Foundation Houston, I believe. We could have been a part of that. We could have partnered up with them and made it bigger and better and,
mm-hmm.
you know, done a show, raised some money, bought toys with it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. Partner up with all the different organizations. Make sure we got representations at all their events.
That's right.
It's not about just showing up at a bar. Did you actually buy the run package?
Mm-hmm.
Did you participate? You know, I participate with everything in the city. I try to, at least.
It's hard to do because...
it's hard.
Because there's so much going
it's
on
hard.
In the city.
And trust me, if I step up as emperor, I know that my time is going to get pulled back. I
you
mean, I have to... put the Colt 45s and the Bears and everything else on hold.
Yep.
It's just a fact.
Because if you become emperor, your life is planned for the next year.
Well, it's also a requirement of
mm-hmm.
us. If we do have to, any other memberships we have, we do have to put them
oh,
on hold
okay.
while you're, you know, and it's just...
It's really a good idea.
It is a good idea.
Because your ass belongs to the organization.
You're right. But It's a focus. I want to make sure the focus is there for a Reese's. And, you know, when if I step up and then when I step down, I can go back to those organizations and help them out. Doesn't mean I'm not going to try to help them out. You know, but my dedication for the next year would have to be a Reese's. And then, of course, you know, if in the future if I get part of another organization, the Colt 45s, when I go back to them, if whatever board position I have, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as far as voting, let me remind
you. Oh, yeah, let's talk about voting again. When is it?
And get your pens out. Yeah. Voting is January 5th, which is Monday night.
Monday night.
6 to 9 p.m. at the BRB.
That's 2400 Brazos.
And at Legacy Community Health Services on Saturday, January 10th from 1 to 7 p.m. That's 215 Westheimer.
Yes.
And also, I got the party at the Lovett Inn from 1 to 6. The Lovett Inn is right down the road here from the station, 501 Lovett Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Free food, free drinks. You can also email me if you have any questions offline, which is falcon_eresiss, E-R-S-I-C-S-S, at yahoo.com. And you can also learn about it, more about eresiss at www.eresiss.com.
Spell that out.
ERSICSS.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just do like I do. I sit there and go, Empire, Royal, Sovereign, Imperial, Court, Single Star.
You had somebody on your radio program who was going, E as in excellent, R as in red, S as in souvenir, and then you piped up with, how about E as in empire, R as in royal, S as in sovereign. And I was losing it. I was losing it.
Boy, that sounds like a Stephen Bunch thing, doesn't it?
It was hysterical, but once again, I know we got to get going here, but come on out, vote for me, bring friends. I could really use the support, and so does the organization.
Okay, so.
Oh, I also have a show. Oops.
You do. You do. Like.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're out of time.
I have it in there. I didn't bring the paperwork in.
It's like Chris is about to hit my mic button because it's the same night as his show. But my show is called What Dreams Are Made Of. Mm-hmm. It is at EJ's at 8:30 p.m. And it's my second candidate show. It's the last one, for me. Well, it's the last one.
Next Friday.
Because it's
what
the
time
day before 8:30.
Oh, damn. And Chris, yours is at 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock. So we're going to try to trade off. I'm going to tell people at EJ's, you know, that there's another show going on. Help them out, support them, and he's going to do the same thing.
Thank you.
So hopefully our entertainers can cross.
Fabulous.
And help each other out.
That's how it works.
So, yep. That's what the community is all about, guys.
Because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You don't know. You
this
know
is
what?
First show.
This is the first. This is the first time I'm trying to run something like this. And
do you have a co-host?
Daddy Lloyd Powell.
Daddy Lloyd Powell or the other one? It's not the drag.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
No, I had been teasing.
Abby Normal's not coming.
No.
Okay. I had been teasing.
It will be Daddy Lloyd.
Yeah. Maybe the next one I do,
but
I might eventually get into drag. I don't.
But you see, this is a good example, though. You're part of the Houston Big Men's group. Lloyd is part of the Bears.
Yeah.
It's also, you're both board members of HEC, Louis Weekend.
Yep. Yeah.
And you have no problem getting into drag to raise money for charity.
Right.
That's what is so fantastic about Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things, like I said, I've toyed with it. It's like, I'm not sure yet. But probably the next one, if I do another one of these. Yes, I will eventually be getting it, but I will be performing.
And who could be better than Daddy Lloyd Powell? My God!
Oh, he does. He's done a few numbers for us already this year, and trust me, he's done some numbers.
I met him. Do you realize that he and Robert worked on After Hours? That's how I met him.
Really?
1988, the first time I came to this show, Robert and Lloyd were here.
Wow,
yeah.
1988. I was still drunk up in Detroit, I think. Yeah.
And, you know, it was like the next year, he was on the Pride Committee.
Yeah.
He remembers it so long ago, Lloyd had hair and Robert didn't.
Yeah. No, 1988 was my party years up in Detroit.
I've
definitely cleaned up since then.
I see.
But, that was, oh my gosh, Detroit was wonderful. But anyways, I won't digress into that.
Okay, well, I want to wish you well.
Thank you.
Voting is Monday, at 6 to 9 at the BRB, 2400 Brazos. And next Saturday, from 1 till 6, is that it?
1 to 7.
1 to 7 at Legacy at 215 Westheimer. That's, you know, Elgin becomes Westheimer, and it's right there.
Right. My party's 1 to 6.
Your party is 1 to 6.
Yeah, I have to clean up.
At the Love It Inn.
I have to clean up at 6 o'clock so I can get back to the ballot box.
That's right. 501 Love It. Just right down the street from where we are.
Yeah, we can almost spit on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Please don't. I may have to clean that up. But thank you very much, Jimmy. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you for being here, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Chris?
And yes, I have outro music.
Oh.
Hold on your headphones.
Yeah, my outro music? Is it the song that I think it is?
No.
Oh, he's got something special, I'm sure.
Last week when we had Marcia Mink on here, because of her event of 8 Winey Diney Nights, I played some Hanukkah music.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is the closest I could find that would be appropriate for Falcon.
Oh, God.
Eye on the Sparrow.
Okay.
And we'll be back with Hatch.
Okay.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart be lonely? For heaven, yes, heaven is my home. For Jesus is my portion and a constant friend is he. If his eye is on that little bitty sparrow, then I know he watches me. If his eye then I know he watches me. So
I sing
because I'm happy.
Yes,
and I sing
because
I'm free. Yeah. It is I. Then I know he watches me. So I sing
because
I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
And I sing because.
Watching over me.
That was Mark Allen Smith, Eye on the Sparrow, Sparrow Falcon, that sort of thing. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Coming up in a moment, I hope.
Hatch.
He lives! Oh.
I do live. Yes, I do.
Is there more coming?
Yes,
listen. Okay, so I need to play some music and stretch.
Yes.
All right, this is. I don't need to play. I don't know. Oh, hell's bells. I don't know what I'm doing right now. They're showing up here. I've got nothing planned. I thought they'd be here already. I know. Here we go. Your mics are off. I can't play the... Oh, good grief. I am just... Do you want your mics on now? Hold on, I gotta figure out something. Are y'all ready? Because I don't have any music queued.
So you're just like...
I thought you guys were coming in here. I don't know. Here, I'll find something.
Are we ready?
I think so.
All right.
How does this work?
So this is the Hatch Hour. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Josh.
I'm Cody.
Cody's new to the Hatch radio show thing.
So. He's never done it before. He's a radio virgin.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah.
So what was the decision on the topic? Because I had to work tonight, and I didn't think I was going to be able to be here, and they let me off early enough to be here. So supposed to come up with the topic.
So that's why you
don't
look
blame
like
this on us. Don't blame this on
so
us.
So that's why you look like that.
Yeah, I'm wearing my uniform, other than my work shirt.
That is the lesbian uniform. You're wearing a t-shirt and jeans, right?
A white t-shirt and black slacks.
Black slacks, that's close.
It's the work uniform.
It's formal lesbian attire.
It's formal lesbian attire. And
Then where is the pink tie with the flamingo on top of it?
Well, it's 81 degrees in here, so she's not wearing flannel, okay?
Yeah. Right, no flannel.
That's why.
I don't own any flannel.
You could, though.
Blasphemer!
I never liked flannel. I'm sorry.
We'll have to buy you some, sweetie.
Lumberjack Elizabeth.
Aww.
You look good with flannel, though.
Oh, no, I don't think
so. I don't think
it matches your complexion.
No.
Because
you're trying to say she's a ruddy complexion or just kind of plaid?
She just has a plaid complexion. You look like you have stripes down your face.
No, yellow. You need to go yellow. You're kind of pale. Yellow works. It'll work.
The little bi boy is giving me advice on clothing.
I'm
well
dressed.
Might work
too.
Well dressed, it works.
Okay, fine.
And so am I, so you can't complain.
You're just wearing the gay boy attire: jeans, a t-shirt, and a cardigan.
This is not a cardigan. It's a zip-up sweater, damn it.
And a low-cut shirt at that.
It's a V-neck. There's a difference.
Okay, topic. Topic.
I think we. We chose to throw out relationships and go with suicide.
Suicide and prevention. Suicide and suicide prevention, okay.
Thank you for including the prevention part.
Be like, what, are you going to commit suicide on us, Chris?
No, it's just you were getting really down there. I was looking for the happier side.
Well, we do suicide prevention twice a...
We do suicide months. Prevention every we do it every spring and every fall.
Right, and we do it for a night, and we talk about different issues, different ways to deal with your problems and how to, talk to people. If you're, we give everyone a piece of paper, and we have the first five sections is for people's names that you'd call if you were thinking about suicide.
Wait, this is at Hatch, right?
Yeah,
okay. Hatch. I've never been there for one of those. So.
Oh, okay. And then under that is like five sections for things to do if you're thinking about committing suicide, like go to the park, like something I put down, or talk to a friend, talk to my mom and dad, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's always best to have some friends that you can rely on. And make sure they're friends that you know will be there for you in your time of need, and not somebody that's just like, hey, I don't know you very well, but I'm going to just tell you all my problems.
Right, like, at the top of my list is Josh.
Yes.
Thanks.
And then Cody. Well, my list was
made. Thanks. No, there's no recovery.
Have you slept in the same bed with her?
Yes, multiple times.
Multiple times? Well, yeah. You know multiple what? Times. I've slept in the same bed with her quite a few times.
We spooned the other night.
What did we do?
When did you do this? You're supposed to be married to me.
It was Thursday night,
right?
Thursday
night. Did that ring that I bought you yesterday mean nothing?
Okay, we got off topic. It's a bunch of teenagers in a room. I'm sorry.
At 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty early. Or like, late, however you
we
want
haven't
to
been
spin
to sleep
it.
Yet. Okay, so, what?
Neither have I.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, top of the list is 5 people that you would want to call to talk to. And then you have 5 things you'd do if you were depressed or thinking about committing suicide. Might put, like, go to the park or...
Go to the museum.
Go to the museum. Do something where you're out of the house.
Sometimes doing something unpredictable can help,
yeah,
too. Like, ride the bus if you've never ridden the bus.
Yeah. Do something.
Or that could be scary. Have you been around Houston?
I ride the bus all the time, so don't be talking, sister.
I wouldn't ride the bus.
And
it's scary.
It's okay. Like, it's okay. Yeah, you do look like a 12-year-old, so that doesn't... Yeah. So people be like, hello, little boy. Do you want some candy? Come ride in my van.
No, do something you're... don't do something new. Don't do something out of your comfort zone. Do something you're used to or something that makes you happy. Some people
put down
on their list, like, exercise, crafting, going out with friends. Just do something that you're comfortable with.
Exercise gives you endorphins,
yeah,
and endorphins make you
happy.
Right. So happy people don't kill themselves, or don't kill other people, too.
That or, like, one of the things is, like, watch a comedy show, because that also makes you laugh, and laughing helps you release the right endorphins to make you happy.
Reusing my word, Elizabeth.
Family Guy is saving lives.
Family Guy saving lives.
Yay.
There you go.
And then at the bottom is the numbers, like, there's a piece of paper you can pick up at MCC.
Yes.
And at the bottom is the numbers of the suicide prevention line.
1 second, I have the number.
He has the number. I have it in my phone, too, but I never look at it.
Because
I don't have it in my phone.
Well, if you ever need somebody to talk to, especially here in Houston, well, you can always call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard at 713-529-3211. And I'll repeat the number one more time, 713-529-3211. You can call them about any subject, but most of all, they're it's a 24-hour hotline. So basically they're here to listen to your problems, not only your problems, but if you need to ask a question or if you're just curious about something, just ask the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard and they'll help you out.
Yeah.
I had a friend call them the other night about. Like craziness in his family. So, I want to give a shout out to my friend Trance.
We're doing shout outs now on Hashtag.
Yes, and I want to give a shout out to Sally.
Oh,
how
of course
you doing, Sally?
Say hi, Sally.
Yeah.
Sally.
Yeah.
Nobody I know is up right now.
My friend stays up. I don't know how he does this. It's like a miracle.
Well, we're up until past this hour because it's when we get off work.
We get off work. We're not even off
work
yet usually.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this is a rare occurrence.
I know. I was
happy. This is the first Friday night I have had off in more than 7 months.
Saturday night. I just realized
because I had
something.
Friday and Saturday night off. It was crazy.
I know. I had Friday night, which I was shocked because they never give us Friday.
I just realized something, Cody.
What did you realize, sir?
You look like you're wearing a school uniform.
This is one of my old work shirts from when I worked at Black IP.
Yeah, he has on a red polo and khaki shorts. So it looks
like a preppy,
it looks,
I'm sorry.
No, that's what my sister wears to school. It's amazing.
This is my I'm a young yachter outfit, and you know I like to wear it out running errands and such. It's comfy.
Because you're trying to
don't judge me.
A certain
don't judge me.
I judge people all the
back
time.
Back to the topic, guys.
But moving back to our topic,
we digress.
And you can call the switchboard anytime. They're there for you whenever you need it about any topic. You can ask any question, and they'll help you out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom of the sheet, those are the numbers they have. I also have the hatch number because you can call the hatch number and find out when our next night is.
Yeah. The number to hatch is 713-529-3590. And I'll repeat it again. The number is 713-529-3590. And the hatch number, you can also reach us at hatchyouth.org if you ever have any questions or if you want to talk to your parents about, like, Hatch, you can just give them the website, and that sometimes helps.
Yeah, and it gives a lot of information, and it doesn't look like we're a bunch of, you know, evil people.
Yes.
We're not all the time.
And
don't let her lie. She beats me.
Get back. I tickle you, not beat you. You're very ticklish.
It's digressing. The same.
Back to the topic.
Reel it in, Beth. You got this.
She's always digressing. I don't understand
how. You're the one that always pulls us back, but you always start this.
I know.
Yeah, she does.
Never ending cycle.
Why do you do this to us, Ben?
What are the other things they talk to us about on a suicide prevention night? Because I sometimes fall asleep on those nights.
I have stood through Hatch. I have been with Hatch for the past 3.5 years. And I have withstood nine of those nights. Do you know how grueling?
It's coming up again this month. Suicide prevention night is coming up again this month.
Woohoo.
Yay.
I won't be there because I'll be at work.
I probably will too.
Yeah.
Well,
so do people, so have people shared their stories of, have you had people who have shared stories of trying to do themselves in because of
I had a friend just recently tell me about his, and it scared me a little bit because, I know I myself have had, tried to get suicide before, and I to this day have thoughts of suicide every once in a while, but it's just very interesting about how everybody has their different stories about their depression. And with me, I have stories of being depressed and bipolar. At least that's one of the things that people tell me. One of my doctors tells me, oh, you must be bipolar, and I'm like, I don't know why. I don't understand. Could you explain it? And then it's like, okay. And then I was like, well, maybe I could have multiple personality disorder also.
You and Jennifer, huh?
Me and Jennifer. If you don't know who Jennifer is my alternate persona. My drag persona.
It's his drag persona. And he's very good in drag.
Because I'm pretty.
He's shallow.
And shallow too, but I don't know. It's called just having an ego. A little bit of an ego.
There's nothing wrong with a positive self-image.
Especially when you're doing drag.
Until it spills over and it becomes, you know, just being cocky.
Yeah. Do you see that window?
I'm pretty sure that those are thick. They're like soundproof and whatnot.
Then it's called...
like a bug on a windshield.
Uh-huh. But moving right back onto topic. Suicide can be a tragic thing, but what people have to think about when they're so down and depressed, one of the things that they have to think about is that if you do that, you're ending your life completely. It's just an end to...
It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yes! Yes! You knew what I was thinking. I can... Deb tells me all that all the time. I don't know why.
Should we be watching you more closely, Josh?
Should I be watching both of you? That's the question.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, I always say. I mean.
As I twiddle my thumbs... I don't think that's the right thing.
That's not Twitter. Those aren't your thumbs, honey.
My fingers, whatever. Whatever.
They're doing the Simpsons. Yes, that.
You don't.
We get a lot of talk. When Suicide Prevention Night comes up, we have a lot of people talk about their problems, their attempts, and what they did and what they didn't do and how they messed up their, you know, their...
Well,
that's the reason why they tried to kill themselves.
Well, Elizabeth, do you have any personal stories of depression and suicide?
I've had a lot of depression. No suicide attempts.
Then talk about your depression and how it made you feel.
I had some really bad depression when I was about 15 years old. I was going through this whole... I knew what I was a lesbian, but I didn't. And I thought, you know, I tried to be the straight, normal girl. And for me, as all of my friends say next to me can tell me, I'm not normal.
Far from the realm of normalcy.
Be like, believe me, if you met her family, it matches.
My family is pretty out there. But, no, I was trying, because of my childhood and being the non-normal child and being in the family that was very odd and very not the norm.
But eccentric.
Eccentric. There
we go. Our
a very, very
though.
Eccentric family.
They're a lot of fun.
They are the definition of eccentricity.
Yes, they are.
But your mom doesn't eat cat food, so...
Moving on.
I went through a period of about a year and a half where I couldn't... Stop that. I'm trying to talk. I was very, very depressed, and I was trying to... I couldn't really talk to my parents about it because I didn't, you know... I didn't want to talk about the actual problem because I didn't want to be the more odd than I already was. And it didn't help me at the time. I didn't have a lot of friends. In fact, I didn't have any real friends at the time. And so I couldn't really call anyone and tell them. And I couldn't tell my family because, yeah, that would have been odd. So I just kind of dealt with it myself, and that didn't help. And I finally got talking to a friend who lives in California mm-hmm. now. And she's bi, and she talked to me about... my feelings and, you know, everything that I was going through, and she helped me through a lot of it until I was finally able to talk to myself, you know, admit to myself that I was either bi or a lesbian. And once I got through that, I came out to my sister, and I finally had somebody to talk to, and that helped me through my depression. And I've gone through a little bouts of depression in the last couple of months, but not too much, so... That helped me a lot. Really helped. It really, really helps to have somebody you trust to talk to.
Mm-hmm. True words can be said.
So that was my depression.
What about you, Cody?
I don't know. I had kind of a different childhood. So, I mean, I guess nobody else that out there knows, but I'm transgendered, so it's a little bit different. It's not, you know, that kid just, you know... He really likes Cher, you know, that's a little different. He wears a lot of pink, like, and you know, that's one thing, but when you don't kind of fit even, like, the basic requirements for what people call normal, things can get a little hairy, so, I had a lot of trouble with it, so, I mean, I've been to a couple mental hospitals, and I've attempted a couple of times, and I've ended up in the hospital, and I lost a couple of years of my life to... suicide and suicide attempts and depression and mental issues and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely something that needs to be talked about more.
Mm-hmm.
So, not on my end. I just mean, you know, in general for the GLBT community.
But isn't it particularly rough on transgendered folks because when you're young, you don't. You don't have the images on TV of transgender folks like you see
right.
gay and lesbian people.
Right.
And so it can be very confusing as to what am I and how am I feeling and how come I don't... I'm not gay, I'm not straight, I'm not... I don't get it.
Yeah, it can be pretty confusing. And it's definitely difficult. I mean, I heard someone talk one time about how when they first saw Will and Grace on TV, they understood what was going on with them. And I never kind of had to... There wasn't anything out there when I was growing up and was trying to figure out what was going on. You know, so it was difficult to just even figure out just how to label myself and figure out what's wrong with me. Well, not wrong with me, but why I'm feeling the way that I feel, let alone, you know,
how
talking
young
about it.
I have an interesting question.
Yeah.
How given the age you're at now, how young were you when you started to understand or started to get that something was different, that you didn't fit into those labels, gay, straight, the whole male, female, which one, what you fit into, you know, the transgender thing at your age?
How young
were you?
It was very, very early. I guess the first, like, big memory that sticks out in my mind is it was Christmas. I got Barbies for Christmas. I'm like 4 or 5, and I didn't understand like why someone would send me this, because obviously I don't like this. I want trucks and Power Rangers, and you know, and I don't understand. And I'm like, why does Grandma send me Barbies? And she's like, well, because that's what girls get for Christmas. And I was like, well tell her I'm a boy, because I am, and tell her I want Power Rangers. Just tell her to call me Steve, you know, or something. Which it was just the name that I pulled out of the air, and I'm like, because it's, you know, something's wrong. This isn't normal.
And so. It probably was pretty crazy for your parents too, because just like you, they've got the images of gay and straight, but you don't have the images of transgender.
It's definitely a subject that I think needs to be more put out there. I mean,
you bet.
I mean, they're just only now on TV starting to deal with that issue on a much more mature level. I mean, there's a TV series now that has a major character in love with somebody who's transgendered, and the character is played by somebody who is transgendered. You know, which we've come a long way, but you know,
yeah, we have.
There's two TV shows out there that have that.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I know.
There's one
Dirty
on Showtime.
Sexy,
and
I know Dirty
Sexy
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone knows.
Dirty Sexy Money.
But Dirty
Sexy,
The
other one is a show that's about to end this year, The L Word.
So I've never watched that.
Max is in that show, and he started the process.
Do you mean the straight man's porn?
and lesbian. Let's be honest.
No, that's true.
It is the straight man's porn, but every lesbian loves that show.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I'd had something like
Shane is always
how true to life is that?
It's L Word?
Yeah.
In the 25 to 30 range, it's pretty true.
Mm-hmm.
My range, no, because we're too shy, and we're too
That's just you.
No, I've been lesbian. I know my age.
You're shy, so is
shy.
Not a word that I.
That's not a word. No.
Not shy when it comes to just meeting people, just being friends, just shy to the point of, you know, relationships. You know what I mean? So
in the older, like a little bit older than me, not even that much older than me, that age range, it's pretty true.
I think some of it's true, but a lot of it just seems to me like dealing with our community.
No.
It just.
I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, because I know we're talking about
it's just,
suicide.
It's just
But back to topic.
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, I was reading some statistics, and like, I mean, all statistics, you can never be exactly, you know, sure how accurate they are, but that a transgendered youth is 50%, like, they have a 50% chance of committing or attempting suicide by the time they turn 24.
Mm-hmm.
And every transgender person I've ever talked to deeply, like, says that they've tried it at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, these are, you know, shocking. You know, I mean, we're not a huge part of the population, but we're enough that we should be noticed. That it should be noticed that we're killing ourselves in large numbers, and we're being killed by other people in large numbers too. But we won't get there tonight.
Well, you're getting there. You've got some national spokespeople. You've got Ricky Wilchins in New York, and you've got Vanessa Foster Edwards in Houston. right. who is the president or past past president, I think, of NTAC. So you're getting politicized,
right? We are,
and that's the beginning of the road,
right? I obviously don't expect to, you know, just snap my fingers and it's all changed, because as you can see with just the gay rights movement, it's not the way it happened. It was a long struggle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, this is just kind of another facet of that. It's just one more thing we need to just kind of
and the other problem with being transgendered is that so many people who transition want to just lead their lives and not
to go still.
Yeah, just woodwork and not. Don't even talk about the T word anymore. Just live the life that they want to live.
I think that
kind of hurts the
movement. It hurts, but at the same time, I think that that's their right. But
sure,
you know,
it's unfortunate that there's so many people who, even though they're able to change or transition, they won't physically pass.
Oh, that some people have a problem passing, even though they've right.
Yeah, no matter what they do.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's kind of unfair to them, but
definitely, I've been relatively lucky in that area. So,
I'll say, you look like the most adorable 13-year-old boy I've
Thank
ever
you.
Seen.
Thank you. even though I'm much older than that, not much, but quite a bit older than that. So,
I mean, that's what you say.
Take out my driver's license for the fourth time today. I got carded at IHOP.
I didn't know they sold beer and wine.
No, they don't. I wanted to sit in the smoking section.
Oh.
And they're like, wait a minute, you're 13. I was like, no, I'm 18.
Yeah.
So.
And I really do wish that I'd had an organizations like a Hatch like thing
for real
when I was growing up.
For real.
Because, you know, I tried to kill myself twice in my teenage years. I'm 40 now. I don't think about killing myself. Other people on occasion, that's another thing. But it's been a long time since I've felt that about myself. And, you know, and it took me a long time to get there, you know. But, anyhow.
So, yeah, that's a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, the whole transgender community, it's just starting to be noticed and just starting to be
well even in the talk to the talk few about. Years that I've been out and about in the GLBT community, I've seen a big change. I mean, when I first came to Hatch, I kind of felt alienated because, you know, there wasn't anybody other transgender youth in the group when I came in like 2 years ago at first, so I left eventually, and I came back, and now there's a whole group dedicated to us,
there's
for
trans
us.
Group.
Yeah,
yeah. We have trans group
which
on
cool.
Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. It's just very interesting because I know with just being ourselves, it's just very interesting because I say ourselves because I'm also trans because I'm drag.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just very interesting because I know when I talk about people about being trans, they are like, what? You plan on having surgery? And it's just like, no. I'm like, yeah. But
you fall under the umbrella of trans, but you're not.
Yeah,
trans.
And so I had to explain. I have to explain what it means. And it usually takes 30 minutes after talking to this person. Hearing too much information to be given. But at the same time, I'm trying to inform people because if you don't inform them, then they're just going to be ignorant.
So. Well, I didn't know anything about trans people until I started going to Hatch, and I met my first several trans people, and I got informed quite fast.
Yeah.
We've got a call, if you'd like to.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
We're doing
going well.
Going well.
Good. Well, the one thing I wanted to... I've got one comment, and it's kind of about the whole normalcy conversation you were having. And weirdly straight people go through that whole am I normal?
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Concept as well.
Who's normal these days though?
My dad talks about going through that as well. So.
Oh.
And as one of those who ended up attempting to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
it's a weird thing for me because it was literally I'm not normal.
Yeah.
And that's what inevitably led to my attempt. The one thing I wanted to ask you guys was what do you think about the study that came out recently regarding the GLBT community and family support when you came out, contributing to drug addiction and suicidal tendencies?
You mean the rejection of families?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
The rejection of families in the GLBT community does cause a lot of
strife
and addiction and suicide attempts, because when you're a child, when you're you know 13 to 20, and your parents reject you, and you end up losing a home or, you know, that family support system that you grow up with, it can be a very, very difficult situation.
Especially if you lose the support of not only your family, but you lose the support of your family, your friends, sometimes your school or work, and in some cases, even your religion. So if you lose all those things, those are all pillars of strength that you gain your support from. If you lose all those things, then you have nothing.
Yeah. I think the study he's referring to, we're not aware of.
I'm not familiar with this.
Well, it came out, I guess, within the last week. And I think their findings were basically that moderate or mild support contributed to a more healthy person, basically.
Sure.
And mild disapproval to severe disapproval contributed to an increased
suicide attempts
and drug use.
Yeah,
and drug abuse as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's understandable.
Absolutely. And I blame our culture because we're force-fed the normalcy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want your kids to grow up and be normal. But nowhere is there a definition of what that's supposed to be.
Right.
Plus...
Normal is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, plus we're a country where we talk about being normal, but then we want everybody to be individual and do their own thing, but not too much.
Right.
So that, don't be way out there, you know, just a little bit, be yourself.
Right, and like to go back to what you said in the beginning, that every teenager goes through that, am I normal, where do I fit in, where do I find acceptance phase. Throw something like being a member of the GLBT community in there, and you're just stirring a pot.
But you know that it's amazing. I had never thought about anyone in the straight community having that same problem that we have.
Having to deal with the same concept.
Yeah, of fitting in and being normal. I mean, to me, it was always a given. You're straight, you're normal. Or you're what society says is normal.
Right.
But
I think it makes sense.
Even straight kids go through the, you know, am I this person? Am I this person? There's so many types.
Am I masculine enough? Am I feminine enough?
My dad was the religious kid.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to deal with the fact that his parents were, you know, very, very religious, and he was the religious kid, and he didn't fit in anywhere.
Boy, that's got to be a bummer when your hormones are running wild.
Oh, yeah. But he was a religious kid. He didn't fit in anywhere. He didn't know what he was, you know, what he was in his community, because none of the other kids accepted him for being what he was. And we still, even in the straight community, the regular kids that don't have the GLBT issue have other issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have other problems.
And then to tie that in with this study, I mean, as a society, where our self-image is based on the image that people, like how we think other people see us. We spend all of our time wondering, I mean, you know, if I'm talking to Beth, I'm wondering in my head what Beth thinks of me. You know, most mm-hmm. people are like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And society teaches us that if people think that we're, you know, cool, and, you know, if they like what we wear and they like how we act, then we are cool.
And the really hard thing for kids is they put on the persona for other people, and that does not help them.
That's right.
It does not help them. That keeps them depressed. That keeps them internal. Because that keeps their problems out. They don't have friends that know them. They have friends that know that persona.
Right.
Okay. Can I ask the caller? Yeah, you're talking about you were having problems of normalcy. Can you tell us what they centered around?
They centered around acceptance, really, is what it was back then. And this was quite some time ago. I'm not what you would call a young man anymore. But most of it was centered around acceptance.
We think that how can we accept ourselves if other people can't accept us when it really should be the other way around.
Pretty much. Yeah. That really what it was. Was that I didn't really understand how, if I couldn't accept myself, how could people accept me?
So how did you get over that hump?
Part of it was therapy. And I went to therapy while I was at university, and it was during like a summer break, and I went back to college, and My therapist was like, well, you know, find somebody to see up there because you're not done. And I ignored him, and I didn't go find anybody to see while I was at the school.
Yeah.
And ended up trying to kill myself and ended up dropping out and spending about 3 years just dealing with it.
Right.
Wow.
On my own and sorting the whole concept of who I was and what that meant.
Was there a day of...
Basically what that meant to me and what that meant to other people as well.
Was there just this all of a sudden a light bulb went off, or was it a gradual thing of accepting yourself?
It was gradual, actually. Mm-hmm. It was very gradual. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't have been 3 years, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I did feel like if I'd gone to therapy, it would have helped tremendously. It would have shortened what I went through. But it was basically a gradual accepting of who I was and what that meant to others and why that should or should not mean anything to me.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And it just opens my mind because I guess I'm focused so much on the gay community. I don't think that the straight community may have the same problems we do.
I think that's one of the problems between the two communities is that neither one thinks about the other community having the exact same problems that
we see
that they're
ourselves
dealing with.
We see ourselves as different, but then asked to be treated equally.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double-sided.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're right. Well, caller, thank you so much.
Not a problem. You guys have a great night.
Thank you
very
much. Thank you,
too. Thanks for calling. Good night.
What a great call.
Absolutely. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Acceptance
in all communities.
Something new every week.
acceptance in all communities is very hard. I mean, in our community, it's, you know, losing your family, losing your friends, losing your church. In other communities, you know, if you're a little bit different in minorities, then you lose your minority. If you're a little bit different in other places, you lose your families.
I know my sister, she's having a hard time, and she's straight. She's 14, but she goes to the small middle school, and everybody makes fun of her because she's a little bit bigger.
I went through the I'm a big kid, and I'm not accepted because I'm a big kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little kid, and I went through the you're tiny, let's stick you in a trash can thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I,
everybody's got
so,
their
yeah.
thing,
yeah.
But
yeah, I know when I was bigger, it led to my eating disorders because I just wanted to fit in and to be like all the other kids. So
can we take a musical break?
Yes, we can.
Good. Chris has just handed me a brand new CD from a Houston performer, Jonathan Adams.
His new name.
His new name. Oh.
J. Arsenault. This is his first CD. His second CD is coming out sometime towards the end of February, and we're going to be...
Are we going to get him on the air?
We're going to try.
Okay, Jay Arsenault, and this is called The Real Me. You're listening to it on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston.
Got me.
broken glass. I only feel the steel of the red hot truth, and I'd do anything to get it out of my mind. I need some insanity for that temporary kind. Tell me how will I ever be the same when I know that that woman is whispering.
That was Melissa Etheridge. One of the few times we do play Melissa, it's only because we play the older stuff. Her, I believe this is, I would say her pre-lesbianic days, but look at that hair.
Yeah, and, bring you some yeah, water.
It's called a mole.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
no. See, I told you, it's called a mole.
This is from 1988, so it was her pre-officially out days. I guess since it was 88, we can excuse the hair.
It was before I was born.
Did you see that one again?
That was, yeah, that was before I
yeah.
was born.
1980 what?
Eight.
Oh, I was born. Yay, yay.
Jesus. Do you feel as old as I feel?
My mom probably danced at her prom to that song.
I was a junior in high school.
88? I was...
I'm sorry, senior.
I was...
Senior, first year, senior.
I was a fetus, so beat that!
I was a freshman.
I wasn't even a zygote yet, which is the first step after fertilization, so there you go.
It's called a twinkle in your father's eye.
I feel... All right. I feel really, really old now.
Yeah, you know, as if I wasn't feeling old enough, you know.
Aw, we're sorry.
I feel
That's
old.
What you get for having a bunch of teenagers.
I feel old
room.
Sometimes. My bones See, creak already. It's depressing. I found a gray hair.
Oh, where?
In my head.
Hey, it could be other places.
It could. I'd be more worried if it was.
Wait until they see full head of it gray hair.
My dad already has white, so...
Would it be easier for y'all if, you know, we just go in there and lay on the ground so you can kick at us easier?
Yes, please.
You know, that way you won't have to move your
that
leg.
That one's cute enough. I would let him.
So that was Bring Me Some Water from Melissa Etheridge way back when. And before that was brand new music, Jay Arsenault, The Real Me.
Really good song.
And we're, like I said, we're hoping to get him in towards the end of February, March, when his new CD comes out. And also, there is a pretty good chance, if everything works out right, he will be at George on Friday. He's going to
really?
Be. Yeah, he's. He said he's maybe he'll stop by my show.
Oh, that's cool.
So he'll be performing live.
What time is that again?
8 p.m. over at George.
I'll try to make it. I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but I'll try to make it.
But so it'd be a chance for you to go and see him. For those of you over 21.
Ooh.
Darn.
magic numbers.
Knocks out that whole room.
Yes.
It does. It knocks out this whole room. Oh.
Yes, alcohol, the great equalizer.
One day.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get a phone call from Sally on that one.
I serve alcohol, and it is a great equalizer because I feel so much smarter than my guests after a couple of rounds.
It doesn't take much.
No, not much.
All right, so it's the old farts here. We'll shut up and let the youngins talk.
Yeah. All right, well, getting back on topic. Aw, they're being mean to me back here.
We aren't being mean.
Just vicious.
What if Joshua shares a heart-crying story?
A heart-crying.
Go on.
Heart-crying.
Your turn to talk.
Okay. You always save the best for last. Oh. Okay. But yeah, I know with me, my suicide attempts, I've had two, and I've almost had three, and that was about like a month ago. But then I have a multitude of suicide attempts, so it's just very interesting. I know lately it's just been my family. Because I've been dealing with a lot of depression lately, and I know that for me, when I get depressed, I don't eat. And if I do eat, then it's usually I go into a restroom and it's like, oh, well, you need to throw up now. And it's just a lot of things like that. And I know that's why, Deb, she's been helping me a lot. If you don't know who Deb is, Deb is Deb Murphy, and she...
Deb is Deb Murphy.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, and, she's kind of like my mentor, and she helps me out a lot. And then there...
She's also the person who runs Hatch.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just like, it's just been a... lately, for me, it just, I've lost about 10 pounds, and it's just like, I only eat when I'm in the presence of people, and usually then it's only like junk food, because I feel that if I eat that, then maybe I'll just gain more weight that way, because even though it's not healthy, but it's something, I'll still gain weight back. And it's just very interesting because I go up and down, and it got to one point where I just threw the, I remember it was about three weeks ago, and I was just so upset with the scale, and I couldn't believe that I gained back 2 pounds. So I grabbed the scale and I grabbed it. And I took it outside. It was the middle of the night. And I looked at it. And I was just... I only check my weight in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep. Because I think if somebody sees that I'm weighing myself, then that it might... It's just very shameful for me. Because I think maybe somebody sees me weighing myself, then they'll think I'm fat. Or... if they don't think I'm fat, then they'll think, why is he weighing himself? He's skinny enough already. And my average weight is about 165, and I'm 5'10". So it fluctuates. And I remember once I dropped down to about 135. And that's about average. But still, I wasn't like tone. It was just like skin and bones. And to me, it's average to look. It's average to look just about how I look right now, but it just was very difficult. So the other night, it was just I grabbed the scale, and on the inside, I was just screaming at it, but I couldn't scream because I live in a house with 13 other people, and it's like having. It's basically like having people in your face 24/7, and so it's just very difficult to have alone time. And so I grabbed the scale, and I go marching out. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm in my boxers and a t-shirt, and I'm just, like, marching out. And I'm furious at this scale. I'm furious at it because it tells me that I'm fat. I'm furious that it tells me that if I was skinnier, I would love myself more. And I know that. And so I go and I take it to the trash can and I just chunk it as hard as I can. And then later on, I go and I had to go get it back because it's the middle of the night. And it's about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't sleep all that much, especially if I, because every other night, usually before about like 2-3 weeks ago, I would have panic attacks every other night. And so I couldn't sleep, and I would just black out. And the longest panic attack I think I had was about 3 or 4 hours. And it wasn't even a panic attack 3-4 hours where you lose track of time. It was a panic attack where you kind of black out because you're breathing so heavily. And you're breathing to the point where you get dizzy, and then it's just like blackout, and you wake up and you're like, what just happened? And you've lost control of your, it's kind of like you've lost control of your body and your breathing, and it just is very erratic. And it's just very weird to me. And then it's just a lot to do. And then with my depression, it's just, I know for days on end, I would just stay in bed. Throughout this whole semester, I have to remake the semester because I would just stay in bed and just not doing anything at all. I would just stay in bed and sleep for 14 to 16 hours a day. And I don't think Elizabeth knew all that, but now she does. And it's just...
See, those are the times you call me.
I know.
You come over to my house.
I know, it's just...
And hang out with the crazy family that makes you happy.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, whenever I am around your family, they always do cheer me up. It's just, for me, I just feel a sense of hopelessness. And like I can't do anything right. Because it's always like, if I can't control my weight, I can't control anything. And then I have my panic attacks about my weight. And I have the panic attacks about how much money college is going to cost me. And then I have my panic attacks about who likes me and who doesn't like me. And how I can make myself better. And how I can improve myself. And it just is one thing after another. And it's just very interesting to me because I can, if I'm in public, I usually don't lose it. But it's just very interesting because I was in Walmart the other day and I just started crying. I was in the dressing room and I was like, well, why aren't I fitting into these clothes? And I got really frustrated. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, well, why don't I look like what I want to look like? And it was just very frustrating. And I really do try to eat, but it's still something that I face. It's just something that I really do have a problem with. And I never really... I've sought treatment for it. But, yeah. And then it just, like... Yeah, me and my craziness. And I too, have been to a facility that's supposed to help you. And... It did with my depression and all that, but I never discuss the fact that I am anorexic or bulimic. So that didn't help things at all.
I have to step in right now and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude and listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. you know, a lot of what he's saying there, I've talked a lot on this show about, because one of the sad parts in our community is body image. And it's, no, there's that, you can get into discussions about that. And unfortunately, it's, especially with young men, even gay men, it's something that's not talked about because it's not considered something you hear on with them. And, you know, it's a sad tragedy that this goes on. I know I've lived with it and have experienced a lot of the issues on it. And it's one of those things, you know, with, when it comes to body image, people are, it's hard for them to understand because they think it's something you can change. It's something you can, you know, it's your own fault. It's every other excuse they have to not, to look at how it hurts the person on the inside. And sometimes, you know, talking about it, and that does help, you know. In my experience, what helped with me was hearing the positive coming from someone else. Is finding people who look at you and go, you're okay as you are. We can see the attractive in you. We can see the good in you. And then starting to buy into that. And sometimes it's a hard thing to start understanding those words and letting them soak in because you're not used to hearing it. And it's one of those unfortunate things we have in, not, you know, it's more in our gay community because we are a superficial people at times. But, you know, we could fill sports stadiums with dead teenage girls who have gone accidentally because they were told they have to starve themselves. They have to be a size zero. They have to be this to be considered beautiful or to even be considered pretty. And I think, fortunately, things are starting to change a little bit on that. With some of the looks on there, that people are realizing that it's not, you don't have to be that. God bless America Ferrera. Yeah. So, yeah, real women have curves.
Yeah, that's a big thing that I went through when I was younger, is I've been the big girl my entire life and never really fit in with everybody else. And I didn't go through the weight. I never did any of the eating disorders just because, you know, I wasn't the type of person, I guess, or the type that could, you know, have that issue. But I did go through the, you know, body image issue when I was younger, and I was always the big girl that never fit in anywhere.
Yeah. Well, see, my weight problem was diagnosed early as being psychological. You know, you get depressed, you eat. People pick on you, so you get more depressed, so you eat more, and so on. And, you know, I lived with what they said. And, you know, follow the rules of what they said. You're a fat person, so you're unhealthy, you're unlovable, mm-hmm. you're stupid. And it took finding people who didn't buy into that. And that helped me tremendously, was finding that sort of, not really support, but love and interest. And sometimes that's what it takes. You know, the way I explain to people is, when you go to the grocery store to buy olive oil, you're not buying the pretty bottle it comes in. You're not buying the can and all the decorations on it. You're buying what's on the inside.
Right.
That's what you're going for. And that's what you have to do with a person. That
this is the vessel I am in. And the question is, do you want just the vessel or do you want the contents?
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, it's a twisted thing that you go through with this. And, you know, I was chatting with some guy today that 4 years ago I met him. And if it wasn't for the fact we were so nervous, we would have had a great time.
Yeah.
We still had a great time just talking. But we would have done other things. But I've lost enough weight now that he's not going to be interested in me.
Really?
That's a twisted part you have in that, is that, you know, there's an acceptance at the larger size, but not as you get smaller. And we all have our different ways that we have to deal with it. And, you know, it's sometimes I fall back on that. I had a little bit of depression these past couple of days, and I noticed I was eating a little bit more than usual than I had been. Plus, it's the fact with not, you know, with having all the days off from work, you're sitting at home, and it's, you know, you're not snacking when you're at work.
Right.
But it's one of those things that you, it's, sometimes it takes more self-reflection than going into a prescribed, you know, lay on the couch and tell me how it was when you were potty trained sort of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, it's one of those sad aspects of our community. And unfortunately, it's not going to go away anytime soon. Although, you know, in the general society, you know, the larger people are getting, we're getting a bigger percentage. But it's one of those things, you know, small steps. I think we're getting close here to the end, which is good because I think we've drained him again with another show. So
Josh is resilient. He'll make it.
I know. The amount that he puts into what he does when coming out and telling the story, which is one of the things that's great about this, because, you know, we hear on television today how everything is all, you know, sunshine and lollipops. You come out, your family's warm and accepting, and, you know, they're marching with you into the next gay pride parade, and, you know, walking you down the aisle for your gay marriage and picking up your adoptive children and all that. And it's not all great, you know. Ellen didn't change the world. Mm-hmm. Clay Aiken didn't change the world. Martina Navratilova, none of them changed the world. We still have the same issues. And whether it's family that doesn't understand or understands too much, or just how you feel yourself is perceived in this community or the community at large, it's all something that has to be dealt with.
Yep.
So let's have some shout-outs. Let's have some information how to get a hold of the Hatch.
The hatchlings.
All right. Hatch can always be reached at 713-529-3590. And I'll say that again without messing up this time. 713-529-3590.
And the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard can be reached at 713-529-3211. And I'll repeat the number again for the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. The number is 713-529-3211.
And you can always find us online at hatchyouth.org. All right, this has been the Hatch Hour. Shout out to Deb and Sally and everybody, and we'll see you later.
We're going to play a...
Bye.
I didn't pick this song because of the way this topic was. I was picking because it fell in with the same genre and theme of the past music, but it's one that fits very appropriate with it. It's from the soundtrack of the movie Camp called Here Where I Stand. And if you ever saw the movie Camp, you'll understand why. It's one of my favorites. Let's go to that.
Here in the dark, I stand before you, knowing this is my chance to show you my heart. This is the start, this is the start. I have so much to say, and I'm hoping that your arms are open.
Crap, I haven't done this. You know, I finally decided. When I do drag,
yes,
that's going to be a song. That's got to be a song for me to do.
Well, yeah.
That would work.
Closing number. You won't be the first drag queen to do it.
I know.
Okay.
I'll be the biggest.
Well, that's a possibility.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty big ones.
One of these days,
By God, Chrissy Sotheby will come out to play. God help us all.
So, you know, I wanted to touch on something that hit me this
week. You're always touching on something, though.
I know. I haven't touched on you in a while, have I?
Yes, you did. You grabbed his knee earlier.
Did he?
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, he did
I'm
then.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
His glasses steamed up, so he missed your crotch.
Well, there's a first.
What, missing your crotch or my glasses steaming up?
Both.
I see.
You know, it is 82 degrees here in the balmy confines.
Yes,
of
what, like a preacher to priest at a Boy Scout Jamboree here?
No, I was thinking about Christmas customs.
We're in January now, sweetheart.
I know. But in my complex, and there's only 7 apartments in my complex.
You have a bigger complex than that, Jimmy.
Yeah, well.
Any of those open up, I'm looking for a new place.
My tradition is the tree goes up sometime in December, and
and how big is the tree?
Up, well, I didn't have one this year, but it's usually floor to ceiling.
I didn't know that. Never mind. I'm going to leave that joke alone.
And the lights are on up until New Year's Eve.
But nobody's home.
And then on New Year's Day, the tree comes down. Upstairs, my friend Bruce, his tradition is the tree goes up right after Thanksgiving, and the lights stay on until the last night is January 6th.
Three Kings Day.
Yeah, Epiphany.
The Epiphany.
And supposedly that is the day the three kings arrived in Bethlehem and saw the Christ child.
What they don't tell you is that was...
It all happened in June.
It all happened in June, and two, that was 3 years later.
Who was considerably younger.
It's about the church year.
Oh, shut up.
Right after Thanksgiving. And Christmas Day afternoon, she was taking it down.
Yeah, there's people who are like that.
She was like over it. I thought, well, how bizarre.
I waited till New Year's.
So I wanted to ask everybody here their traditions in that manner. If you decorate.
It's been so long since I've been home for the holiday season that I really don't know what the tradition is at home anymore.
Well, how about what do you do in your apartment?
Well, I didn't do it this year, but I usually take the little tree down that I got at the dollar store and get down my dollar store ornaments and decorate the tree and put it on top of my microwave and take pictures and show everybody, look, my tree.
How long does it stay up?
Sometimes until the 6th and sometimes until about New Year's.
Yeah.
And sometimes later, it depends.
Pagan?
Yeah.
When do you take down the Yule log?
I put everything up on Thanksgiving, and I put my Santa Claus / Father Christmas /
Papa Noel
Holly King decorations in the window on Thanksgiving, and I have a lovely wreath that I put on my door that I made. And with a lovely pentacle in the center of it. And you know, I love making my neighbors nervous. Now, I also decorate myself during the holidays, as anybody who knows me knows.
Your staff
and everything. So
him with his big ball of the staff, mistletoe this year.
The staff and all of that I decorate until Christmas, because I usually start at Thanksgiving, and by Christmas I'm just over it.
So you're like my next door neighbor.
But the home decorations I've only just taken down this week. The windows and stuff, all my happy little pagan accessories, they stay until New Year's. It's just, you know, to me the holidays aren't over until you hit New Year's, you know.
Mikey?
I have 3 cats, which makes having any sort of ornaments on a tree impossible to keep up throughout the holiday season.
I understand this.
Yeah.
That's why you don't decorate the lower half of the tree.
Huh?
Don't decorate the lower half.
Cats climb.
Get a plastic tree.
So
they climb.
The decorations are minimal.
Yes. So there's not a lot of upkeep nor taking anything down.
Okay.
But, you know.
Zane?
I've gotten ornaments for my parents since the first year I was born. Christmas has been very big in our family. I grew up Catholic. So I put my tree up usually the last week of Advent. Since I have so many decorations, I don't do it all at once. Sort of do it over time, and then I take it down at Epiphany.
Ah, okay. Wow. When I grew up, we put the tree went up, the real tree. We never had an artificial tree. The tree went up Christmas Eve, and Santa Claus decorated it. We would get all the ornaments from the attic and put them underneath the bare tree, and when we woke up in the morning, there was the tree all decorated. And the tree came down New Year's Day. My mother didn't like needles in the carpet, so...
Christmas.
While my mother lived, there was never a fake tree in our house. There was never anything less than a 7-foot tree, and that tree sat on top of our piano.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
What a house that must have been.
Yeah, we had very, very high ceilings in the...
Obviously.
A 7-foot tree on a piano?
Uh-huh.
Which would have made it, 11, 12 feet?
Yeah. At least.
My God. And
personally, I prefer tulips on an organ rather than a tree on
You would.
Of course.
Going for the cheap jokes still.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I know at my house.
But we had we also had a giant size Santa Claus that a cousin of mine had made.
Yeah, I think you told me about that one time.
Hung over the room.
Well, I know growing up, it was always a big thing, Christmas. Tree would go up about Thanksgiving, maybe the day after Thanksgiving. All the decorations would go around. I mean, stockings hung up, decorations on the walls, lights around the windows, the whole works. And it would all stay up until around New Year's. And, of course, since I've been on my own, depending on where I'm at, who I'm with and all that, depends on how I do decorations. Like this year, it was very minimal. I had some lights up, had a wreath up. Tried to do a little something. I mean, I wanted to do more, but had other things that I had to take care of first. But, I mean, I did have some Christmas stuff up.
But you've taken it down.
Yeah, it was basically down probably right after Christmas.
Because
by then I was done. I was like, it's time to take it down.
I don't decorate for Christmas.
Okay, what was the tradition growing up?
First or second weekend of December.
Mm-hmm.
And stays up usually till just past my birthday.
Which is January the 9th.
Yes, it's a little past Three Kings.
I see. Just to have a tree up for your birthday? That's kind of nice.
Well, you know, Jesus is the only one that deserves a tree.
Well, my sister had a tree up for her birthday, of course, but it doesn't count. Her birthday's the day after Christmas. Yeah, so she wasn't...
Of course. It
wasn't really thrilled about that.
Yeah,
it was
like
either a lot of Christmas and a little bit of birthday, or a little bit of Christmas and a lot of birthday.
She had to have an unofficial birthday in June or something.
No, that was my birthday.
Oh, okay.
But now, I mean, with my family, we put the tree up, and, you know, there's a couple of... I mean, my mom has a nativity scene that she made. A ceramic one, and there's a couple other things that she had made, a little snow house and a Christmas tree thing that broke. And my two-month-old nephew kept looking over at the snowman.
Uh-oh.
That is ceramic.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
And bigger than him.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
And he's not mobile yet, but he kept looking at it like, and then he's like, you're not getting Frosty. And it's, this year it was safe because he wasn't moving around. So next year when he's, you know, 14 months, you know, the nativity scene's already on a higher shelf. Because with my youngest, my other nephew, it was like, no, don't you touch that. Don't you touch that. And so, I mean, those were the big things with that is those little bits. And then after we decorate the trees, then each one of us has a personalized ornament.
Oh.
And lately I've been the caretaker of getting those. So we have this, you know, the big thing is, especially with my nephews, he'll bring out, because we keep it in the stocking. So once they're decorating the tree and all that, he'll bring you the stocking so you can pull out your ornament to put on the tree. And that's the main thing with the decorating tradition. You know.
When does it all come down?
Like I said, it'll probably come down this next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, not this weekend, but the following one.
In my house, we had the yearly ritual of gluing the nativity scene back together. Because somehow or other, a lamb would lose its head, the angel would lose her wing. Somehow, sitting in a box, all by itself, in a closet, it would lose parts.
Yeah.
It would come apart.
Goodness.
Actually, well, it's kind of like the lights never work.
As I am, I have a nativity scene, but only because the figures in it range from 80 to 100 years old.
I thought you were going to say because they're all pink.
And then I have another set of three kings that was made in the 50s, and they are the gayest three kings I've ever seen.
Look at where they live at, Jimmy.
Now, I will say this one thing. I don't know if my parents know it or not, but there is one or two ornaments. I forget if I got one or two of them. I know I got definitely one. Ornaments on the Christmas tree.
Yes.
That was purchased at Crossroads Market. I don't remember if I bought two, and if I bought two, the second one might have been from Lobo.
Is one of them a Dorothy's red slipper?
No, it is it's a Santa Claus head, but it's one of those hand-blown Polish glass ornaments. And with my family being Polish, that was the step in on that. But I don't know if I've informed them that they have an ornament purchased from me.
Good goddess. Gay themed ornaments.
Good goddess, we had this. We used the same ornaments over and over and over every year. I mean, parts missing from some of them.
I think the tree the star on top of my parents' tree this year was the same one they put up since before I was born, I think.
1965?
Shut up.
Now, you see, that's the one thing that changed constantly. Out of the entire decorations on my tree, our tree, that star changed more often than most people change their underwear. There was the year of the standard tinsel and plastic and lighted thing, and we had the year we had to have the fiber optic one, which was a silver ball with all these fiber optic strands coming out of it. That was kind of bright and colorful. And boy, we had fun with fiber optics that year.
Reminded you of a gay pride parade, huh?
Oh, yeah. And the little... And of course, it changed color as it... So yes, this very gay thing happening at the top of the tree. I mean, every year the topper, everything else seemed to stay the same except for the broken stuff, but the top of the tree changed.
All right, let's get into some news stories here.
Say what you started, Jimmy.
I found this a little interesting because not sure how long they're going to hold this title. But Portland, Oregon has sworn in its first gay mayor.
Whoa. Ooh.
Sam Adams, who was elected last May to replace the outgoing mayor, was sworn in office at 12:01 on New Year's Day. Approximately 40 people were on hand, including his partner, Peter Zuckerman, who is a reporter.
Zuckerman.
Portland is now here's the part that I'm not sure how long this title is going to last. What did I do?
Page down.
Portland is now the largest U.S. city with an openly gay mayor.
Woo! Wow.
When are we holding elections here in Houston?
Soon.
So,
Has she even said she's going to run?
Not officially.
While AP reports that neither Abrams or his opponents raised his sexuality in the race, Adams was targeted before the official race began by Bob Ball, a gay Portland real estate
developer. I
want to
leave that joke alone.
Who also had an interest in the mayor's office and an ugly, substantiated smear campaign following an underage intern.
Oh, my
Lord.
You know, if you're going to have gay sex with an underage intern, be a member of the House of Representatives, damn it.
I know,
there
right?
you go.
Leave that up to the professionals.
My God. Barney, would you call up him and give him some technique? Said Adams of his win in his sexuality, this is a testament to how fair-minded Portlanders are that it wasn't an issue. I spent my time on the basic issues of life, a part that includes equal rights, but even that's not even close to a majority of the time. My passions for public service include promoting social justice, equality for all, but obviously it also includes finding good jobs for people. Being gay is a part of me, so it's being Irish-American and being from a small Oregon town.
Sounds almost exactly like me.
Yeah.
I should run for mayor. Y'all vote for me, right?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
First purple-haired mayor of Houston.
Oh, come on. The purple's only going to last for another 2 weeks, and then it'll be some other color.
Green.
Or pattern.
Pattern. Something.
Lovely.
Yellow polka dots.
No.
The bumblebee look.
I did a tiger, and it kind of looked like that already.
I thought you did a ladybug.
No, it was supposed to be a tiger.
No, I had stripes.
Oh. Some lovely little pictures of Prince Harry have surfaced. Nothing says royal holiday like beer bonging with Prince Harry.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's not going to go over well in the royal household.
There's the pictures to prove it too.
But the shirtless pics of him are not that bad.
Oh, of course
not.
Those shorts could have been wet though.
They're kind of sagging. I mean, you can see the top of the V.
Uh huh.
I mean, just looks like he shaves. There's no happy trail there.
No, there is not.
Hmm.
I almost saw the royal scepter. Hey, Laura, we're going to see the orbs of power.
Okay.
Yeah, how about the royal jewels?
Yeah, there's a lot of pictures here. I mean, this other one here where he meets his leather daddy.
Crown jewels.
Yeah, yeah, right?
We're checking out here from Tola Road, of course. I keep forgetting. One of these days, I got to send him an email going, hey, by the way, we use you as one of our official news sources. But, like, that was interesting the way they said they're a print. They call him, this other website that had all the pictures, was calling him Prince Ginge.
Ginge.
Oh, Ginger.
Yeah.
Ginger, yeah.
Yeah, there's Prince Harry meeting. Was at a charity event at a London brokerage firm. Presumably, they're getting ready to whip the market. There's a guy, very bearish looking, in a leather vest.
Okay, I'm scared.
Is that Rob Halford?
I am truly scared.
Yeah, I'd be scared for him.
What
is that? Could you imagine? You know, I realize the royal family's over the last 20 or so years been quite famous for doing things that. That mom probably wouldn't approve of.
Yeah.
All right.
You
know,
it's sort of like, do I dare die anytime soon and let these people take over my throne? You know. Oh my God.
All right. Go a little sadder here. Interesting little story coming out of Las Vegas. Two teenage brothers are being held in the tragic strangling death of a Las Vegas high school choir teacher. They claim he did it because the teacher, Matthew Cox, who was found dead on a couch with a blanket over his head by a friend, made inappropriate sexual advances. However, the teens also took the time to steal electronics from his home.
Nice. Right. That was so about the...
Because that makes any of it justified.
I know, right?
The police report says that a 17-year-old Juan Aguirre told him that Cox started to get sexual in the hours before the alleged murder. Aguirre's 18-year-old brother, Jose De La Torre, was also arrested in the death. The teens were getting a ride home from the teacher. When Cox pulled up to their mother's apartment, the report says both boys strangled Cox for approximately 10 minutes. His mother said, it's not fair they took his life like this as she was packing up her son's belongings. It was at the same apartment that police said the two brothers dumped his body and stole electronics. The mother of both suspects is accused of helping them abandon Cox's car at a nearby casino. Wow. Also mentioned in the police report is a statement from one of Cox's friends. She says police that Aguirre, one of the alleged murderers, recently told Cox that he was gay. The report also says that Cox told his friend that if he wasn't a teacher, he would have pursued a relationship with Aguirre. Meanwhile, Cox's mother says she had no doubt her son mentored Aguirre outside of the classroom. In fact, she says he told him he spent time with the 17-year-old and was trying to help the teen through troubled times. He just wanted to help straighten kids out. According to an MSNBC report, Cox drove the two boys home. They parked in front of their house. They hit him over the head and began to choke him. And then, like I said, they stole electronics there. Also, another part of the report on here is that Juan Aguirre, who came out to Cox, kissed the teacher's cheek before he left the apartment with his electronics equipment.
It's just really bizarre.
You're claiming gay panic.
But she went and stole his electronics.
Yeah.
And then kissed him on the cheek.
And then kissed him goodbye.
So this is something we'll be keeping an eye out on.
Because it makes so much more sense to be seen as a murderer than to be seen as queer.
Well, you know, let's, you know, we break it down this way, and with this part of the story, and not trying to sound racist or ominous here, you've got Juan Aguirre and Jose de la Torre. We're talking about the Hispanic machismo,
yeah,
culture. You've got the fact that these two kids are called brothers with two last names.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some sort of a broken home situation, possibly.
Right.
You know, they have the same mother, but different fathers, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You combine all this stuff, and, you know, it could be something that, you know, the older brother didn't want to see his younger brother gay, and things escalated on this. You know, we're not hearing what the full story is, that maybe,
yeah, true,
maybe, you know, the older brother found out that there was a possibility of a relationship going and did this to end that, and was hoping, you know, to be able to say, you know, he attacked us, and so, you know, as part of compensation, because we can't sue him, we're going to take electronics. You know, it's a hard thing to say, but you know,
A gay panic thing sounds a, it loses a lot of its steam when you also proceed to steal stuff from the house.
True.
And
true.
You know, it's just, and you know, I've not, there's an awful lot less court systems who are willing to buy the gay panic thing than there used to be.
The fact that
there's
they're
not nearly as many
that they are supposedly Hispanic or have Hispanic surnames is kind of almost an automatic count against them too. The fact that the teacher was clearly Caucasian, it, you know, I'm not playing the race card here, but it looks bad, you know, all around, regardless.
Well, and also combine the fact of this, okay. The crime scene where the actual, you know, the murder supposedly committed was in front of the kid's apartment, which means they killed him, then drove to wherever where Cox's apartment was,
mm-hmm,
took him inside, dumped his body on the couch,
mm-hmm,
and then stole electronics, then went back home with his car, which then they got their mother to drive him over to a casino to drop off the car.
So now the mom's an accomplice?
Yeah. The mom's being considered an accomplice because she helped them abandon the car at a nearby casino.
That's bad.
So,
that's really bad.
You know, if it was gay panic and that was their excuse, you stop where you're at.
Exactly.
You know,
it sounds almost premeditated.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds. I mean, it sounds a lot more to it.
You can't claim a crime of passion if after it's over with, you continue.
To me, it sounds like they planned this. They realized he had a lot of nice, you know, expensive things in his apartment, and they wanted a way to get to them without having to deal with him directly.
Your story also showed remorse. You said that they kissed him goodbye. That's weird.
Yeah.
Like I said, it sounds to me like, you know, older brother didn't like what he was seeing.
Yeah.
And did this. And let's see what Sam said.
Being an over brother, panicked, overreacted, and then tried to cover.
Actually, since both of them attacked him, the younger one hit him on the head, and then the older brother started to choke him, according to the MSNBC report. They tied him up, drove him back to his house, and then they stole the electronics. According to the MSNBC report, the teen said they didn't mean to hurt him, they just wanted to rob him.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. When you beat him upside the head, choke him for 10 minutes, and then tie him, his hand and feet with a tie, yeah, that didn't mean to hurt him. I love their definition.
I got a bridge in the middle of the Sahara that, you know.
All right, let's go to some happier fun stuff now.
What you got for us now?
Big surprise. Premarital absence pledges are ineffective, study says.
Yeah.
Teenagers who make such promises are just as likely to have sex, but less likely to use protection. Teenagers who pledge to remain virgins until marriage are just as likely to have premarital sex, but less likely to use condoms or other forms of birth control.
Sarah Palin's daughter?
I love that. You know, I wonder if she could put a few more names to that kid's title. Trig, yada, 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 yada.
Where do they come... what is this, like, the Alaskan version of the Beverly Hillbillies?
I know, right?
What is with these names?
I think Alaska just says hillbilly anyway, to start with.
Oh, great. Mother got us.
I thought that was North Carolina.
there's plenty of them around. New analysis of data from a large federal study found that more than half of the youths became sexually active before marriage, regardless of whether they had taken a virginity pledge. But that percentage who took precautions against pregnancy or sexually transmitted diseases was 10 points lower for pledgers than for non-pledgers. Taking the pledge doesn't seem to make any difference at all in sexual behavior, said Janet Rosenbaum of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. The study is the latest in a series that have raised questions about programs that focus on encouraging abstinence till marriage, including those who specifically ask students to publicly declare their intention to remain virgins. The new analysis, however, goes beyond earlier analysis by focusing on teens who had similar values about sex and other issues before they took a virginity pledge. The findings are reigniting the debate about the effectiveness of abstinence-focused sexual education programs, just as Congress and the new administration are about to reconsider more than $176 million in annual funding to such programs. We're spending $176 million to tell kids don't have sex.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, we can...
And it's not working, obviously.
No.
Give me the money, damn it.
But is it allowing their parents to sleep?
Probably not.
You know, if,
not when,
I'm sorry.
You know, Susie comes home pregnant.
Yeah. Or, you know...
Has an abortion.
Or Johnny comes
or
home
Johnny
with
comes
something.
Or Johnny comes home with an STD.
Yeah, comes home with the flaming, you know, what's...
Flaming wand.
Yeah, that too.
You know, I mean... It's one of those... It's hard to believe in this day and age... that people are still buying into that, do as I say, don't do as I do. You know, when you talk about the, you know, the same thing as using the drug culture, you know. I may have done a lot of stuff when I was a kid, but I don't want you doing it. You know, I know the consequences. You know, but we're talking about with sex, and I think these older people need to realize that, you know, times have changed. Before sex, you know, you had two bad consequences, rug burn or pregnancy.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about the fact that sex could equal death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that there is that possibility, there is that chance. And whether you believe it or not, and you think you've instilled in your child the morals... and the strength to say no. There's a whole big world out there telling them yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if
not to mention their own hormones.
Well, yeah. Those are kind of hard to control.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes you be able to sleep better at night knowing that you took your daughter to a virginity ball and she pledged her virginity to the date till the time that you walked her down the aisle and you put that little ring on her finger and you danced that little slow dance with her, if that makes you feel better and you're able to sleep at night, I recommend you talk to your doctor about Ambien.
Yeah, because after that pledge, they probably went right out back.
You know, if you didn't, like I said, if you didn't buy the storyline on Desperate Housewives, where, you know, the co-president of the Abstinence League was, you know, got knocked up, you know, look at Sarah Palin's daughter.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sorry that, you know, we're making a big story about the fact that, you know, she got knocked up, but, you know, when your mother is so high and mighty about and pushing forward an abstinence-only program, and you get knocked up at 17 by the star hockey player,
mm-hmm,
who just wanted to put another biscuit in the basket, that is your, you know, that's the story you have to look at, you know. Mm-hmm. That's where you have to look at it and go, huh, you know, karma's a bitch.
Yes. And I still find it amazing that this same political party says, you know, would rant about these things endlessly about people's moral this, that, and the other. And then the minute something like that happens to one of their what they had hoped was going to be one of their star players, oh, it's all right, it's okay, she's just, they're just dealing with a lot of stuff and blah blah blah, and all of a sudden they're justifying stuff which they would have crucified anybody who was from another political party.
If Chelsea Clinton would have gotten knocked up,
mm-hmm,
even though she's, what, 25 years old?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
If she would have gotten knocked up, they would have been yelling for Hillary to drop out.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the Republican 17-year-old daughter...
Unless they were trying to justify it as maverick behavior, you know.
Well, you know, he may have,
that's great,
may have been hung like a maverick.
I was
Levi,
about to say,
call
me. She had sex with a horse.
All right.
Well, he was a hockey
star. Hey, more sex talk. Go figure.
Woo!
From Japan.
Oh, no.
Teenagers who skip breakfast as middle school students tend to have sex at an earlier age than those who start the day with a proper meal, government-backed Japanese medical researcher said.
Where in the...
They're not getting the protein in the morning, they got to get it in the evening.
Right? You got to get your protein somehow.
But it doesn't say if kids who eat Fruit Loops are more prone to be gay. The link between breakfast and sex probably lies in the teen's family life. The study examined sexual experiences as well as family relationships and lifestyle habits of Japanese females and males aged 16 to 49. It was carried out in September and was based on about 1,500 people.
Wow. Wait, are you telling me that from this story, I'm extrapolating, that if you sit down as a family and deal with your family, that it'll work better than if you tell us we can't do what we want to do?
Oh, my God.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Wow. The average first-time sex for those who said they ate breakfast every day as a middle school student was 19.4 years, while those who skipped breakfast, the average age was 17.5.
Only like a 2-year difference.
But when you think about it, that 2 years is the difference, at least here, between smoking,
the consent age of sex and everything yes. else like that. You know, that 2 years is a horrendously large gap. That's graduation from high school. That's a lot of things in those 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, that could be completely ruining your high school education, which, in all honesty, depending on where you went to school, doesn't mean too terribly much. But...
Right.
Wait, it gets better down here, it looks like. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah. The fact that people can't eat breakfast may show something about their family environment. Before blaming individuals for having sex at an early age, it may be necessary to look into the sort of homes they are from. The study intended to study how to reduce unwanted pregnancies also showed the average age for first-time sex was lower for those who found their mother annoying.
Nice.
People who dislike
that didn't work in my house. I was in my 20s and I found my mother annoying when I was 14.
People who say they dislike their mother had sex for the first time at the average age of 16.
That was me.
While the average age of there's no time for the phone call. If you're calling, sorry. While the average age for those who appreciated their mother was 19.
Wow.
So, you're going from one castrating female to another? I mean,
basically. Like I said, no discussion about the gay community.
Of course not.
I didn't have sex till I was 21.
Right now...
I can't say that.
For some different kind of news out of Israel.
Oh.
Mega orgy in Tel Aviv has been canceled due to public pressure.
Darn it.
I want to go.
I wanted to go fire my
missile
over there.
We'd love to send you, virgin.
Okay, anyhow. You know what? Go
and
watch
leave
The
you.
Bubble. Awesome
hey,
movie.
I might get laid.
Awesome movie. And it's based in Tel Aviv. And
Sex Fest is scheduled to be held on International Orgasm Day.
When is that?
Just a second. I think it's coming up here later. You tell me when it was. after weeks of preparation for the largest sex event of its kind in Israel, organizers were forced to cancel this week due to public pressure and threats exerted on the owner of the venue where the sex fest was to take place. The event in question, which was scheduled to take place on International Orgasm Day, aimed to bring together some 250 participants seeking to promote world peace through multiple orgasms reached by masturbation or sex.
I want to be a part of that.
I know.
But wait, it gets better.
Oh.
The orgy was organized by the Raylin Movement, a UFO religion whose followers believe humankind was created by aliens. The group's spokesman, Kobe Dry, said that the orgy was meant to include straights, gays, lesbians, and bisexuals, all of them over 18. The purpose of the event was to try and bring world peace through mass orgasm, and thus this by experiencing consensual sex and natural uninterrupted pleasure. It was important to make love without feeling guilty or shy. Dory protests the fact that nowadays the words war, violence, and murder have become more legitimate than sex, orgasm, and pleasure.
You can promote peace through orgasm. I mean, there's a lot of peace and quiet after you.
I know.
Most,
if you do it right.
Most of them are passing out.
If you do it right.
Let's see. According to Drury, the orgy was just the first in a series of events dedicated to promoting this objective. On January 22nd, the movement was to hold a conference on sexuality and masturbation with experts and writers in the field. He also vowed that the cancellation of this year's orgy will not deter the Raylins from setting up another sex fest next year.
Man, I really want to go to Tel Aviv now and launch my rocket. Then anyway,
Oh, that's not right.
Well, Tel Aviv is actually a really progressive place, considering its, you know, surrounding location.
Yes.
You know, they have a thriving gay culture. It's very open-minded. You know, if I were to visit anywhere in the Middle East, it'd probably be Tel Aviv.
So, the Raylin movement.
I'm pretty sure I still wouldn't take my chances, but that's okay. Anyway.
The Raylin movement has several hundred followers in Israel and some 70,000 members worldwide. We don't believe in demons, ghosts, or gods, said Rory. The group's primary goal is to inform humanity without attempting to persuade regarding scientific messages that deal with the origins of life on Earth. The second goal is to expedite the establishment of a society based on the principles of nonviolence, solidarity, self-fulfillment, and pleasure. To establish one global currency, one global environment, and harness science to the service of humanity and not against humanity.
Hmm. Well, they just sound downright
Peachy Keen.
Peachy Keen.
Just because they might have some crazy ideas doesn't mean their goals aren't in the right place.
Just remember, if they offer you Kool-Aid, don't drink it.
Well, I'm not looking for intelligent life in the universe, just in Congress, but okay.
The thing that really sticks out to me in that description of them is the fact that they're not trying to pressure people into it.
They're just...
Yee. You know, this is our message, and we're promoting peace, so yay go them.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, one last fun story here, because we're getting...
Dangerously
close to the end. New Year's Eve celebration on CNN. How could it go bad? Kathy Griffin was with Anderson Cooper.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and that's how. Anyway.
Apparently, she did not know that she was not at commercial break.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
And there was somebody heckling her. Anderson spent most of the night giggling nervously about what might fly from between Griffin's lips.
Which ones?
Upper ones. Such as calling Tom Cruise a truckload of crazy and after his first very sincere Happy New Year shout-out. Perhaps it was a little too early in the evening for a crack about... what is there? But here, about quarter past midnight, screaming at a random reveler on the street... Quote, shut up, you know, screw you, I'm working. Why don't you get a job, buddy? You know, I don't go to your job and knock the dick out of your mouth.
You know, if it came from any other B, C, what list is she on?
D-list,
that's right. If it came from any other D-list or above celebrity, you know, I'd be upset. But coming from her...
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's great. It's brilliant. I kind of wish I'd seen that.
I kind of wish I'd seen Anderson Cooper when he was doing the whole Michael Phelps thing with the with the pool.
You didn't come in here last week and saw the picture of him from his 8th grade yearbook.
Oh, no.
Can we get a little older than that yearbook? Because, not into 8th grade. Little young. You know, can we get senior, maybe?
Well, the person who only had that yearbook.
I see.
That's unfortunate.
So. No use for that picture.
Anyway. Well, you know, just him wearing in his baseball cap, saying, with his cutesy little slogan of, Mary had a little lamb, and the doctor fainted. On that note, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, kids.
Do your shout outs.
Much love, blessed be, happy new year. Here's hoping the one ahead is better than the one we left behind.
Oh yeah.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We will be back next week. Don't forget, if you're not doing anything on Friday, come over to George. You get to see me. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale. Now it's time for your PSAs.
Hi, this is Mike Savas. Does your home music collection have a diverse mix of all types of music, including rock, folk, world, blues, bluegrass, alternative, and beyond? If so, join me Mondays at 2 p.m. for The Weave. I'll mix new music of all types into a consistent whole for those who truly love all forms of music. It's The Weave, a program for true music lovers. Mondays at 2 p.m. right here on your Pacifica radio station, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Happy New Year, y'all. Time is running out to participate in the KPFT Program Survey. I'm KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley. KPFT's Program Council is seeking your feedback on our programming. Check out a programming survey now posted on our website, kpft.org. We want to know what you like, what you don't like, how you listen, and what you suggest. There are plenty of places to write out your thoughts, and results are reviewed in an effort to learn what you enjoy and want more of on your KPFT. Again, visit kpft.org for a link to this online survey. Please note, one survey per household. The deadline is midnight, Monday, January 5th. So don't wait. Visit kpft.org now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored community radio Pacifica, 90.1 FM, KPFT, Houston.
KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.